start in a couple of minutes, and I'm just going through the speaker cards. Mr. McPherson, you provided me with two cards. One says public comment, which is general public comment. The other one is agenda item 20, which is also public comment. So you want to speak, I think, at both time slots, right? De Los Osos. Toss one of them out?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Here's public comment. General public comment. This is 23. Public comment, public comment. Folks, I'm assuming if you've given me a card that says, doesn't have an agenda item, but it says Los Osos, CDO, and wastewater plant, and I'm assuming that this is kind of a more of a general comment.
Yes, it is.
Okay. There's two periods coming up. One is the status report by the county on Los Osos. And that has a public comment period following it. And then we have a general public comment period about anything not on the agenda. And that will follow that. So when I don't have an agenda item checked off here, I'm not quite sure what category to put it in. That's why I'm asking.
I didn't want to be confined. I was here at 11 o'clock to speak as general, not on the agenda. I didn't want to be confined to my comment.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to be.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. Okay. Are we ready to proceed? Okay, Mr. Thomas, would you like to introduce this next agenda item?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is item number 23. It is an update from the County of San Luis Obispo on their efforts to construct a wastewater treatment facility in Los Osos. And here to provide the update is Supervisor Bruce Gibson and Project Director Paavo Ogren.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. For the brevity, a brief staff report and introduction, I do have with me Deputy Director of Public Works, Paavo Ogren, who's also the project director. My introductory comments here, very short. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you again, to continue updating you on the progress of San Luis Obispo County's work toward a wastewater solution for Los Osos. Since we appeared before you in July, a tremendous amount has happened, and Paavo is going to explain that to you in more detail. I think you're going to find that in the course of the last 2 months, you're going to hear about as much new information today as you heard on July 6th when we were with you in Watsonville. At the conclusion of Paavo's remarks, I have a couple of concluding comments, and with that, I will give it over to Mr. Ogren.
Mr. Ogren, before you start, I need to check and make sure that John Richards is with us. John, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thanks. Great.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman Young, members of the board and the public.
I'm sorry, I had a suggestion to say who John is. John Richards is the board's counsel on this project, and he is with us via telephone today.
Okay. Chairman Young, members of the board, Pavel Ogren with the San Luis Obispo County Public Works Department. And I'm not sure if the screen there, if we want to try to turn down the light there, if that's at all possible, so that that has a little bit of better clarity as I walk through this PowerPoint presentation. Certainly, I also appreciate the time to come and make this presentation to your board. Our last discussion was in Watsonville in July. And as an introduction, we're going to primarily focus in on our work efforts since your last board meeting, as well as discuss some of our future steps, talk about some of the project issues, and then public discussions and information. And just wanted to make sure that everybody, especially who's in the audience or who may be viewing this from Los Osos, understands that on September 29th, that's a Saturday in the afternoon from 1 to 5 p.m., we'll be having an open house at Sunnyside Elementary School, which is going to provide the public with another opportunity to come in and talk with us and do question and answers regarding what our project efforts are overall. Quick announcement as well, John Diodati in our office is handling ballot questions. His number is 788-6633. We've certainly been having a lot of questions as soon as the ballots went out last week. And on the bottom there, our project website, we're also responding to questions from the public that are posted to the website itself. And I'll have that slide up on the screen at the conclusion of my comments as well. Just real quickly, walking through a summary of the prior review in Watsonville, we walked through the significant dates, June 19 of 06, when the board adopted its policies covering AB 2701 and the project strategies that we have recently concluded on August 28th that led to the board's decision to direct staff to conduct the Prop 218 ballot proceedings. It was October 3rd that the board approved $2 million out of countywide taxpayer funds for these initial efforts. December, we had gotten our consultants primarily on board in advance of the January 1st effective date of AB 2701, which is when the work began. It was March that the board appointed a technical advisory committee that had three working groups, an environmental, a finance, and a engineering slash water resources group. It was also in March that we released our rough screening report, which initiated the public review of our work efforts. Separate from our department's work efforts, the planning department on March 27th had brought their resource capacity study to the Board of Supervisors, and at that time the board adopted a level 3 water resource level of severity for Los Osos, which is the highest level of severity under the county's resource management system, which is part of the county's general plan. And then May 30th, we released our public draft fine screening report, and we were in the middle of that public comment period when we made our report to your board in July. Let's see. I accidentally hit the end instead of the page down. Our work efforts since July and through August 28th is that on July 17, the board adopted the policies with regard to who would be voting in the Prop 218. And as a quick reminder, it is the developed property owners within the prohibition zone. Our challenge associated with being able to propose assessments on undeveloped properties relates to the fact that there's a number of resource constraints that exist in Los Osos. And at this point in time, we cannot provide undeveloped property owners with any guarantee that they could actually connect to a wastewater project once it was constructed. That evidence has been part of the documentation of the Coastal Commission and the Coastal Development Permit process associated with the LOCSD project. And even though that permit has since expired, it's still the official position of the Coastal Commission and certainly documented in strong evidence. On July 24th, the Planning Department went back to the Board of Supervisors to get more specific direction on the water resource issues in Los Osos, and the Planning Department is currently working on a number of items in order to address the water resource constraint. On August 7th itself, the Board considered the status of the Coastal Development Permit for the Los Osos project, and I am walking through some of these relatively quickly. In the written report that we provided to your board, we have additional details, and you know, we'll certainly be glad to answer the questions at your pleasure at the conclusion. But in any case, the coastal development permit itself, the board directed us not to extend, seek an extension of the permit for the Los Osos project. One of the primary considerations on that had to do with the board's established policy from 2006 to not assume any of the liabilities of the Los Osos Community Services District. In addition, under any scenario, we know fully well that we will be walking through the Coastal Commission in our project efforts. Again, we were directed not to pursue an extension of that project. I want to make sure to reiterate that the work efforts that have been done in Los Osos historically and the issuance of the original permit certainly give us a lot of clear direction on the expectations of the Coastal Commission, and consequently we are confident that our ability to walk through this process will be relatively efficient because of the historical documentation and the fact that they are very clear on what the conditions and what their expectations are. On August 14th, that was one of our big days. That was when the board considered the project screening analysis, the pro-con analysis that was provided by our technical advisory committee, and approved project selection strategies. The approval of project selection strategies, we believe, is very important because it identifies many of our future work efforts after the Prop 218 election, and I will be touching on those in a little bit more detail as I proceed. August 21st, then, was the date that the board took its first formal action. There are technical resolutions that are required associated with an assessment district adopting the boundary map and directing us to undertake proceedings in accordance with state statutes. Then on August 28th is when the board took the formal action of preliminarily approving the assessment engineer's report. They can't do final approval until after we know the results of the Prop 218 ballot proceedings. That on August 28th, and they also approved the form of the Prop 218 ballots and instructed the clerk of the board to initiate those ballot proceedings. That was on Tuesday, August 28th, and on that Friday, the clerk of the board had indeed had all of the ballots out, and this week property owners have started to receive those ballots, and in fact, we have already received a number of them back already. The overall status of our work efforts then, again, the direction to proceed with the Prop 218 ballot proceedings was the first major milestone under the direction from 2006, and we are pleased that we are ahead of schedule and we are under budget. In addition, there's been extensive community input. From April through the end of August, the Technical Advisory Committee had approximately 25 public meetings and input, and then they separately, as subcommittees, had about 75 separate working group meetings, about 25 for each of those working groups, again, financial, environmental, and then engineering water resources group. Certainly there's been a lot of public interaction addressing community comments and concerns, and I think that we have some TAC members in the audience, and I want to express a lot of appreciation for their volunteer efforts in helping us move forward on the overall wastewater project efforts. Of course, one of the items that is very much in the forefront of everybody's minds are cost estimates. Overall, this is an illustration of the different components of the project. The collection system itself is the single most expensive component, comprising about 65% of project costs. Treatment and the disposal reuse are each around 15%, getting us up to about 95%. And then the treatment site and the biosolids are important issues. So certainly the treatment site is an issue that is very much on the forefront of the community's minds. Biosolids is an issue that has a lot of implications on a green project, and even though they're not significant in terms of the overall project cost, they still have significance in terms of community acceptability. Total construction costs, we have a relatively wide range, $93 to $150 million, and that's based on today's dollars. The wide range is a result of a number of the different options that we have been looking at, and our engineers went through a very detailed development of cost estimates. When I step back and I compare from a sort of a common sense or a big picture approach on cost estimates, these numbers, one of the points that had been made about the Tri-W project in the community that, you know, the bids had come in high and there's a lot of concerns about that. And so how do we compare those project efforts macroscopically with our detailed efforts, and they are in line. One of the big challenges that we see with the project that if indeed a different treatment plan at a different site is developed, and I have to say if indeed, because prior to the CEQA process, we can't prejudice different project alternatives. The, you know, when we step back, one of our big challenges is that, yes, there is a lot of potential to save a significant amount of money with respect to the treatment facilities themselves. It's our opinion that the treatment plant and the bid of about $50 million at the Tri-W project is about twice of what we would normally expect on a treatment plant of that size, of just over 1 million gallons per day. But the challenge is that with scheduled delays, then we have inflation that's eating away at that. So with different potential treatment plants at a different site, certainly we have the opportunity to save money, we believe, but at the same time fighting the cost of delays and inflation, that will be a challenge. And so in $2007 dollars, again, on a macroscopic basis, this does make a lot of common sense. We needed to inflate these numbers, though, to 2011, which is our estimated midpoint of construction and total project costs. At that period, at that time, then, is estimated between about $134 and $210 million. I'll talk again with respect to our project strategies in a little bit about our approaches to developing the least costly project alternative for the community. We have also then done and breaking down how those costs relate to monthly cost estimates, and we did it in a number of different scenarios. The information that's in your written report is what we presented to the board on August 14th. These numbers have been slightly adjusted since then based on some refinement of our financial model. But in any case, we ran a number of different scenarios based on different debt assumptions. These different sample projects, we have high and low estimates associated with them. We also included the Tri-W project. And essentially, there's three different components. At the bottom, the blue is the monthly equivalent costs associated with assessments. That's, of course, not paid on a monthly basis, and I'll illustrate that in a minute. Those assessments can only cover special benefits, though, and so capital costs associated with general benefits would be on top of that, as well as monthly O&M, which is the red portion. And then the top portion is our estimate of the equivalent cost for property owners of their own private costs, costs associated with, like, decommissioning the existing septic tanks and their on-lot costs. Those aren't costs that are paid to the county, but still, nevertheless, they're costs that would be incurred by property owners. We ran a couple scenarios, as I mentioned. This is scenario A and scenario B. The difference is essentially different assumptions with respect to debt. The state revolving fund loan program is certainly a good low interest rate program. Current interest rate is about 2.35%. The requirement in California is that it's repaid over a 20-year period under existing programs. In contrast, the sale of municipal bonds, current market rates are around 5%, and it's pretty traditional to run those or to repay those over a 30-year period. And what the conclusion is that SRF over 20 years or municipal bonds over 30 years, that the monthly costs right up front are about the same. Certainly, if you pay something out over 20 years, then you're not going to have the interest and other costs from years 20 to 30, and so the benefit of the SRF program is that in years 21 to 30, that cost component would go away. But nevertheless, on a monthly basis, it's a pretty tight range on those two different financing. As a side note, we have been working with staff of the State Water Board. Our bond council has been working with legal counsel of the State Water Board to identify the possibility of the California State SRF program considering a 30-year extended financing program. When we met with EPA officials in Washington, D.C., they had identified a number of states, in fact, are doing so. If such a program can be adopted in California, then it could provide some real cost savings to the project. And I'll touch on that in a second as well. But nevertheless, we are working with our bond council and State Water Bond Council to try to see if there's possibilities and other approaches to the SRF program. These cost estimates also include the assumption that there would be compliance with the governor's signing message under AB 2701. The governor's signing message said that the expectation is that the county would make sure that the $6.5 million that had been loaned to the LOCSD has in fact been repaid, or provisions would be established so that it could be repaid. We have not yet taken a position on whether we believe that should or should not happen, but for the purposes of being conservative in our cost estimates, we do recognize that the governor is the governor and his policy position, if nothing else, is significant to consider. So we have included in these cost estimates the repayment, the assumption that the $6.5 million would be repaid. When we go on to scenario C then, this is more of the optimistic cost scenario. This does assume that we could get 30-year extended financing. It assumes that we would not have, the federal grants that we're pursuing of approximately $35 million. We're also pursuing $10 million in Proposition 50 grants. It assumes that the governor's signing message would not have to be met. And so this scenario does not show the repayment of the $6.5 million. And under this scenario, certainly the project cost on a monthly equivalent basis would be significantly less than our more conservative assumptions in scenarios A and B. What this chart then does is take our three different scenarios, A, B, and C, with the blue being the high cost estimates, the red being the low cost estimates, and it shows that again, in A and B, we have a number of different technologies. And one of the points that I have been stressing to the community is that while technologies can make a difference and pursuing the least costly project alternative is important, the financing terms associated with a project can actually have a larger swing on what the monthly costs are. And as, again, I'll be talking through the project strategies, that's why financing has been a critical component of our overall project efforts as well. Moving on then, our monthly cost estimates and how do they actually sort of stack up. And this is based on the monthly equivalent. So we have a monthly cost estimate with O&M being approximately $40, monthly equivalent for assessments being $150, but those would actually be paid on property tax bills. So the semi-annual property tax bill would be about $900. These numbers are for sort of a typical single-family residential unit where we have the proposed assessment of about $25,000. And certainly mobile home parks, condominiums, commercial properties, the numbers would be somewhat different. But what we're analyzing here is sort of on the normal single-family residence and what the typical family household would see. Monthly capital then would be the other debt we needed to sell aside from the assessments. That would be, for example, covering general benefits. We can also place that on property tax bills. And so the normal household in Los Osos, our cost estimates are about, their monthly bill would be about $40, and then their semi-annual tax bill would be about $960. The total annual cost estimate would then be about $2,400. The monthly on-lot costs, again, abandoning the existing septic systems and connecting to a community wastewater system, would have an equivalent cost of about $50. That assumption is based on like a 20-year loan of an equity line of credit at 8.25%. That then is how we come up with our total monthly cost estimate of about $250. Our ranges would show in some of the scenarios that total we've said could, we estimate as high as about $275. But one of the things is this is our best estimate that we have right now. And I think that certainly we've been speaking to the community in terms of how much money do we think people should have the expectation if there's no grants that they would have to set aside out of their monthly budget. And that's what this is reflective of. One of the items that we have talked about before, too, and the community has asked us to look at is the affordability analysis. We actually did this quite some time ago. This is the this is affordability analysis under the EPAs for different age groups. And then with the project cost estimates, that could be pretty wide, depending on if we have grants or we don't have grants. But one of the, again, the community concerns is, have we done an affordability analysis? The answer is yes, we've done an affordability analysis. And it's important that the primary purpose of this is, again, to be able to work with state and federal representatives to express the need for grants. And when we think that, even though it's a pretty basic affordability analysis, it certainly has pressed home the point and been successful. Beyond the affordability analysis, we're now turning to economic impact analysis, and there are certain financing strategies that are important on economic impact analysis. For example, the difference between property tax collections with or without a project. With the implementation of a project, certainly the county can expect that property taxes in Los Osos would be higher than without an implementation of a project. And today at lunch, I met with Bill Watkins out of UCSB Forecast, and we're interested in talking to him about doing that, because on August 14th, the board did authorize us to consider and work on tax increment financing, with the idea being that with the implementation of a project, we should expect that property taxes would be higher than without the implementation of a project, and that increment would be beneficial to push it back into the community, especially targeting low-income households that would be affected the most by the project. So we got the board's green light on August 14th, and I've started working on those efforts already. So after affordability analysis, because it becomes economic impact analysis. Also, addressing mitigating affordability challenges, this is a graph that's just a general illustration, and I've sort of talked about them already. There's a number of components, financing terms, federal grants, state grants, technologies, and those are all things that we're addressing in order to help mitigate affordability challenges. In financing and affordability, certainly the Proposition 218 ballots that are out in the households right now are the first and most significant thing in order to be able to pursue project financing. And they're also important for affordability, because being able to move forward and getting a project done now is extremely important. The longer that it takes to get a project done, we certainly know that inflation is one of our worst enemies. The affordability, though, itself, and these are incorporated into a number of the boards, is pursuing the least costly project, the least expensive funding. The least expensive funding is certainly why we still believe that the SRF package needs to be on the table. With respect to grants, it's the, you know, government and non-governmental grants, federal and state we talked about, and again on the tax increment financing, that could provide some grants from the county itself. Project selection strategies are where I'm going to move next, but those project selection strategies approved on August 14th were very critical to our overall pursuit of mitigating affordability. On the selection strategies, and these I'm summarizing, under the selection strategies, and if your board so pleases later, I actually have in the PowerPoint all of the actions that were adopted by the board and the details. But the first is the utilization of design-build methods of public contracting. And that's where what sometimes, you know, you have opportunities that come out of challenges. And in this particular case, because a system has already been designed, we do believe that there's good opportunity to utilize design-build methods of public contracting so we can get the different technologies to compete with each other. And so we outlined the strategies, and the board approved those. And that is an opportunity that is kind of rare. Normally in public contracting, you select your project, and then you get private industry to compete through a bidding process on that particular technology. But again, because of all the work that has been done on the Los Osos Wastewater Project, we see a very solid process of being able to get the different technologies to compete with each other. The ability to get those different technologies to compete with each other, though, rests on a Proposition 218 vote that is not technology or project specific. So bringing in the least costly project really does require moving forward with the Prop 218 at this time. Also, we did have gone and developed a policy platform on the STEP collection alternative. We appreciate the work of your staff. Certainly, your staff has pointed out to us some very valid concerns regarding this STEP collection alternative, and we've provided them even recent correspondence from last week. Certainly, we recognize that it is the job of your staff to identify concerns and issues, and it's really our job in order to identify solutions to those. And so often in the permitting process, we have to put forth a project, and then we get into that level of detail. And so we appreciate your staff's efforts in, even prior to our application process, identifying concerns so that we can help resolve them right up front. Or at least that, you know, have those dialogues and those communications are extremely important. Also, as previously identified, co-equal environmental analysis that was originally adopted in June of 2006, but we identified additional strategies that our board adopted, including addressing the state marine reserve that has been recently designated, AB 32, and a number of issues that have been significant concerns to the community. Consideration of regional options during the preparation of the project EIR, and that includes regional treatment, regional septage. The County of San Luis Obispo does not have a regional facility to accept septage right now, and as a potential revenue source to the Los Osos Wastewater Project, that's certainly a viable option. And because of the water management issues in Los Osos, addressing regional water options as well is going to be important. Consideration of a decentralized community wastewater project. A proposal from private industry was submitted recently. An individual named Pio Lombardo submitted a proposal for decentralized treatment, and the board gave us essentially a three-step approval to address that. And there has also been another recent proposal by private industry within the last week or so. And one of the real benefits of our process is that, in fact, we can address private industry proposals and without delaying the overall efforts. And so as private industry comes forth, including those who are POs from the East Coast, and there's some others from out of state that have recently provided proposals, and certainly our process, one of the strengths of our process, we believe, is the ability to, again, to address those proposals without delays. Development of wastewater system rates and charges based on demand. This is important as well for affordability issues. The City of San Luis Obispo recently adopted a wastewater rates and charges based on demand, where they looked at indoor water usage during the winter months to reflect best what might be the demands on a wastewater system. And this is important because, unlike assessments, where assessments are based on the infrastructure that will provide service to property, and whether it's a small house or a large house, whether it's a big family or a small family, that infrastructure is really the same for all of those houses. With rates and charges, though, we can adjust it when it's based on demand, based on the actual demand on the system. So especially the elderly, the single elderly who are on fixed income and don't put a large demand on the system, at least through the rates and charges, we can help mitigate some of those costs. Also on selection strategies, the financial strategies themselves. I mentioned the tax increment financing. The board authorizes us to look at redevelopment agencies and a number of other items in order to look at the full plate of issues that will help to address affordability issues. And then last in our overall project selection strategies adopted on August 14th are the water resource strategies. This is important as well from analyzing the cost. Certainly the developed property owners within the prohibition zone have the largest benefit associated with the project since it is about 85% built out. Undeveloped properties are also the next largest slice of the pie. But the water supply enhancements and the community-wide benefits associated with the reuse of the wastewater and the treatment and reuse for water supply purposes is also very important. It's important because it's a resource issue in the community, but it's also important because those benefits are on a community-wide basis. And one of the things that we're really pleased is that there has been recent positive development in this this area. The community, the county, and the LOCSD and the two private water purveyors in the community have been in a groundwater adjudication process for quite some time. The LOCSD, at their last meeting, adopted what's called the interlocutory stipulated judgment, and that's to help move forward the groundwater management plan. And today in my office, I should have that agreement executed by the LOCSD as well as the two private water purveyors, so I can get it on the board's agenda for September 18th. And there is a provision in there where the water companies are agreeable to considering helping him pay for a portion of the cost associated with the wastewater project, again, identifying that there are water supply enhancements that benefit the entire community and not just those in the prohibition zone. We're very pleased that working with the other agencies, we're moving forward on those efforts, very important. And we will be proposing We do have a recommendation for the board that should be on the September 18th agenda. You know, we anticipate it will probably take about 12 months for the development of that water management plan, and that works out well, extremely well, actually, because that water management plan is critical to identifying the various resources that are needed for undeveloped properties, and we can then dovetail bringing the undeveloped property owners into the wastewater project in the latter part of 2008 as we're going through our environmental efforts and project selection and site selection efforts. In essence, we're sort of dovetailing the undeveloped property owners into the latter part of our planning efforts or environmental efforts. Again, appreciation for the water purveyors in the community for helping us with this portion of our efforts. On schedule, I've shared this before and just sort of always like to reiterate it. The Corolla report really had parallel efforts. On the top, we show the efforts associated with sort of the project development. The TAC has completed their pro-con analysis. Final project options are shaping up. I mentioned that a couple of private proposals are being put on the table, and certainly the process has been well designed to address those. And then we'll get into our CEQA next year, the community survey and the due diligence process leading to a project selected. The second component of the parallel efforts, the fine screen report provides a basis. It's the basis of evidence for the assessment engineering report, and we're right there right now in that Prop 218 vote. Also shared this previously, our overall long-term schedule is that 2008 would be focusing in on our environmental and our permitting and our due diligence, which is specific to AB 2701, with 2009 then being designed. And the two-year period, 08 and 2009, we have a lot of confidence in. It may very well be that the environmental and the permitting and the project selection efforts take us more than 2008, but we don't believe that a design should take a full year. And so we have a lot of confidence in the combined 08-09 schedule, which would then allow us to initiate construction in 2010. But again, some of that 08 effort might actually slip into the early part of 2009. With looking at completion of construction a couple years after, by the end of 2012. And one of the important points I want to make also on the overall schedule is that even though property owners are voting now on the Prop 218 vote, we would not anticipate that they would actually start paying assessments until December of 2009. The earliest that assessments could be levied would be December of 2008. And those would ratchet up because assessment bonds would be sold in series, and the initial ones for our early work efforts obviously wouldn't include construction. So the first, the previous chart that I showed of $907 semi-annually, it would not start at that level right away. That would take a few years to get up to that. Again, the earliest would be December of 2008. I think that's unlikely, though, because under AB 2701, the Board of Supervisors cannot actually levy assessments until they adopt a resolution making a commitment to actually implement a project. And there's been a little bit of a sort of comments out in the community that the board could levy assessments before making a commitment to do a project, and AB 2701 specifically precludes the board from doing that. So the earliest could be December of 2008. I think that's unlikely. I think it's more likely that assessments would start in December of 2009. This I'm not going to get into detail, but this was one that I like to show to people because it is a complicated project.
You thought he was busy before.
Yeah. You know, we've had a couple of comments that we've made this also complicated, and, you know, the answer is that implementing significant public works projects in the state of California is a complicated effort. It involves finance, environmental, engineering, certainly the socio-political aspects and the regulatory environment are all we have to be very cognizant of all of that in our implementation of projects. But what we did, and this is, again, looking forward, and lining up our teams and looking at our future work efforts, this is a tool that we developed for our project team so that we can see what, you know, the different individuals work on these different components, and they need to make sure that they're very clear on how their work efforts relate to the work efforts of other members on the team. A summary of our overall project efforts, then again, is developing community options. That's been being worked on by county staff and consultants. The pro-con analysis of community options has been done by the TAC, and they are continuing to work with us. They will be participating in the September 29th open house in the community. Assessment engineering is county staff, consultants, legal counsel. Adopting the assessments was the board's action, and then the Prop 218 vote is of the property owners. These are the major work efforts that are essentially accomplished. Certainly the 218 vote, some of the property owners, many of them still have to vote, but this is the work that's been done so far. Future efforts, this due diligence, county staff, legal counsel, and board of supervisors, this is going to be very important. And the due diligence structured in AB 2701, as I have mentioned before, very appreciative of the efforts of your staff in identifying valid concerns so that we can address them as soon as possible. But the due diligence period is really set up so that after the Prop 218 vote, we have the ability to work with other agencies and make sure that we're all well coordinated for the implementation of a project. Once the board is satisfied of that, then after the due diligence, the intent is that they would adopt a resolution to make a formal commitment for the implementation of a project. And again, the board cannot levy assessments until they have made that commitment. Community survey on preferred project options. We're going to be sending that to property owners, residents, and business owners, whereas the Prop 218 vote is a vote under the California Constitution of the property owners. Identifying what's acceptable to the community and community preferences is really a community-wide issue, both within the prohibition zone and outside the prohibition zone, and that's an important issue in addressing the different ways that we might implement a project. CEQA and regulatory compliance, as usual, county staff, consultants, and the Board of Supervisors with all the required public comment periods. And then final project selection is in the hands of the County Board of Supervisors, which is consistent with projects throughout the state of California among all agencies. Project financing, I'm just wrapping up here, county staff. We do, and we have our board's authorization to look at private financing, which is one of the proposals by private industry. Keeping all of the different financing options on the table, I think, is very important. Project design, county staff, and consulting engineers. I think that I should broaden consulting engineers to include those who could be doing the design through a design build process. But in any case, moving on, again, county staff and consultants on permitting, construction, private industry contractors. This is, you know, private industry is where we pay the vast majority of dollars for the implementation of a project. And that's why getting private industry competition for a least costly project is critical for us being able to deliver the best project for the community. Also critical why the Prop 218 needs to come prior to that competition process. And then overall project operations, it can either be done by the county or private operators depending on how that gets set up after the 218 vote. Again, if any questions, be glad to answer those. And for the public, John Diodati and our website for ballot-related questions.
Okay. Thank you for that. Yeah,
Mr. Chairman, if I might, just a couple of concluding comments.
Sure,
of course. You can turn it. I appreciate the opportunity. I would like to come back and focus why we are here before you again today. It started back in May with our letter requesting that you suspend your active enforcement. And I very much appreciate that you have held active enforcement on new CDOs in abeyance during that time. I think it has made a tremendous difference and very much helped the process that you've heard Pavo outline. I would note that the status of the existing 45 CDOs is a cause of some concern in the community. And I would request that you rescind or suspend or in some way demonstrate that those CDO recipients are being treated fairly relative to all the other residents of the prohibition zone. I know that this was a topic of your board's discussion in May, And I would hope you could clarify the status of those 45 existing CDOs as a means of continuing to strengthen this process as we move through this very critical period of balloting as regards the 218 vote. I believe that your board's and staff's cooperation has been a major reason that this process has gone in the very positive manner that it has. I think your forbearance on enforcement has given the community the time to concentrate on the many significant technical and financial matters that have been put before it. And I would observe to you that that another reason for this is the responsiveness of our project team and our technical advisory committee to a considerable amount of public input. As Pablo indicated, there have been numerous meetings. At every opportunity for public comment, there has been considerable public comment. And the gist of those public comments is summarized in the attachment F of your staff report, which I think gives a very clear overview. I would note, as you look through attachment F, you will see a wide range of topics brought over and a number of concerns, many of which have been brought up very many times. And having been to a number of the meetings and certainly experienced firsthand through our board supervisors meetings and my office hours, Pavo and the project team and the TAC have done an outstanding job responding to every comment that's been put before them. I'd like to thank Pavo and the project team, both our in-house and our consultants. The volunteer members of the Technical Advisory Committee have done an outstanding job. And I would reiterate our thanks to you for the opportunity to appear, for the cooperation of your board as regards its enforcement intentions, and the cooperation of your staff. I think it's been a very productive relationship that we have developed over the last several months as the complexities of this project has moved forward. I think that your help in this matter has been invaluable. So with that, I will turn you loose on Pavo, if that's your pleasure, and appreciate to answer any questions that I might be able to.
Okay, thank you. What, the protest hearing is October 23rd. Is that the day that the ballots are due?
That is correct, that they have to be in our hands, in the board of the clerk's hands, by October 23rd, not postmarked. Also, because some people have already turned in ballots, interestingly enough, if somebody hears something that changes their mind and they've already turned in a ballot, they do have the ability to go in there, request their ballot back, and resubmit it as long as they do so before the end of the public hearing on October 23rd.
And so what is a protest hearing like? What actually happens?
Well, they can be short or they could be long. We've certainly had some protest hearings that, just there is no public comment. But in essence, it's the last opportunity for individuals to go make public comments and to, influence how others might vote. And so people can go to the protest hearing. They can hear, what their neighbors have to say. They can raise their hand and say, I want to change my vote because I just finally heard the argument that I like. But it's the overall process. The reason why it's called a protest hearing is just that historically where governing boards had the authority to implement assessment districts, if the property owners did not want that assessments to be implemented, then they had to protest. And it used to be prior to Prop 218 that it was based on land area or some other standards, and more than 50% had to actually protest. But today, it's based on the actual ballot. And so if somebody wants to support, they need to vote yes. If somebody wants to oppose, they need to vote no. And then all of the votes are tallied up, and then the sum total. And it takes 50% plus one for the protest to be successful. It does not take 50% plus one for the board to be authorized to impose the assessments. Instead, that's why it's a protest hearing, is the protest has to be over 50%. In a sense, if it's 50-50, then the protest is not successful, and the board can go ahead and make final approval of the assessments.
Does the board typically vote on that same day?
Typically subject to the final tallying of the ballots, yes. And so, final action, the board of the clerk has to go back to the board. That would happen right back soon thereafter for the results of the ballots. So the ballots aren't known at that day, but they're opened up. What we anticipate is that we will be sorting the ballots on October 24th, and then the clerk of the board will be opening the ballots on October 25th. At that point in time, the public is allowed to witness the opening of the ballots and the counting of the ballots. We do anticipate that on October 25th, sort of the preliminary or the unofficial results of the ballot proceedings will be known.
Okay. I have just a comment to Supervisor Gibson's request, and then I'll just turn it over to any other board questions. In terms of clarification on the 45 CDO recipients at this point in time, just to follow up what the board had already gone over when this came up before, was that the board's intent and kind of direction to staff was that everybody be treated the same.
Right.
And in response to your letter, I think there were three things you brought up in there that you were concerned about.
Three issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One, I think, about electioneering. Two, about...
There's the question of simply having not having the distraction of dealing with enforcement while we're dealing with these other things. And the third, should have reviewed the letter. It must have been less than a compelling argument.
Yeah. Well, what was important to me was that we would just be in abeyance with anything at this point in time. That the board would be in abeyance at this point in time on any further enforcement proceedings to allow the community to focus on what's in front of it right now, which is working with the county and the TAC and trying to get everything finalized and to not be diverted by pending enforcement actions. Those were my thoughts.
Right.
I think that was shared by some of the other board members. In terms of what happens at this point in time with those 45, first of all, for the board to do anything with the cease and desist order, it has to be noticed for a public hearing. It has to be put on the agenda. It cannot be done administratively. Okay? There has to be an opportunity for public comment on it. And we're just going to wait until after the Prop 218 vote before we schedule anything.
Let me, if I could, ask a question. I heard a bit of discussion about this in Watsonville, and perhaps your staff could elaborate on that if they recall. But there was some comment that I can't, and given that not a large audience was there, and I don't recall that it was televised. The comment that I heard from one of your staff members relative to the existing 45 CDOs was that by the structure of those CDOs, there was nothing happening with those CDOs at that particular point in time. I'm just asking for if staff could clarify. It is a concern to many people in the community, most obviously the CDO holders, what exactly it means to be a holder of that CDO at this point.
At this point in time, I think the only obligation is the pumping requirement. Mm-hmm. So there's no other requirement, and if I'm wrong about that, I see Matt in the back if he wants to come up and comment, or Harvey could do that. But there's nothing else that they have to be contending with.
Yeah.
Because the deadlines that are in the CDO are off into the future.
Right. Well, I do, as you know, neither Pavel nor I were able to come to the May meeting, but having listened to the recording of it, I did get the sense of what you just said, that your intention was that everyone be treated equally on this. And I think that's the important feature, and yet we continue to have concerns among members of the communities that somehow these 45 CDO holders are not being treated in the same way. So any clarification that staff or you could give to that would I think be helpful.
you know, it's a perception that some have. Mm-hmm. Certainly the pumping requirement is a good management practice that everybody in Los Osos should be doing, regardless of whether they're one of the 45 or not, mm-hmm. okay, in terms of pumping. Mm-hmm. And the direction the board has given that if there's anything further that's going to happen enforcement-wise in the community of Los Osos for those living in the prohibition zone, that everybody would be treated the same. I would imagine that if there is going to be any future enforcement proceedings, that the board would deal with the 45 at that point in time, rescind them, and have them folded into the entire group. But that is my estimate of what the enforcement team may do, mm-hmm. and I don't know what their plan is.
Okay.
But nothing is going to happen in the next few months.
Okay. I appreciate your comments on that.
Yeah, but no one is going to be singled out and targeted. There was some letter that I read, and maybe it's Ms. Packers, I'm not sure. Yeah. That there was a concern that the prosecution team would get into the ballots and then set up individualized, targeted enforcement actions. And so people can speculate and concoct all kinds of scenarios all they want. I'm telling you that the board is not going to entertain any selective enforcement. Everyone is going to be treated the same.
I appreciate that.
All right. Any other board comments or questions for the county? Mr. Jeffries.
Thank you. Mr. Supervisor and your staff people, I want to thank you very much for the job that you have done, and I quite frankly, I doubted that you'd be at this position you are today. And I'd like to congratulate you on your efforts that you've put forward and the efforts of your staff. This, as you said, is a very complicated project. And well, if I do, then they're going to get... It is a very complicated project, and it takes a lot of work to put something together as complicated as it is. And I just wanted to personally thank you and your staff for doing that. I do have one question of clarification, and it's a clarification of undeveloped lots compared to lots of record.
Right. And
on the voting.
Why are they not being assessed in the voting? And I think Pablo has probably has the most fluent explanation of that, but it is a policy decision our board made based on where we saw the special benefits at this time resting.
What we did is we presented to the board what is the basic issue. And the basic issue is that under existing coastal development permit conditions, which is the best evidence that we have today, that even with the construction of a wastewater project, we would not be allowed to connect any of the undeveloped properties to the system until a number of items are solved. The first and foremost is the development of a water management plan and the determination of how far, how much development could be allowed. And what I should point to there is the level of severity 3 adopted by the Board of Supervisors recognizes that there is a serious overdraft that's currently occurring. Seawater intrusion is the physical evidence of that overdraft. And even in the best case scenario of reuse from a wastewater project, that will only go a portion of the way to mitigating the existing deficiencies. And so where's the water going to come from for the new development? Until that problem is solved, the coastal conditions will not allow. So we can't promise undeveloped property owners that they could connect. Now, there are other statutes other than the 1913 Act that we could propose a Prop 218 wastewater vote under, and there is one called the Uniform Standby Act. And that act is pretty clear that whether they get the service or not, as long as the pipes are in the ground, we can propose assessments. That would still need to be a separate Prop 218 vote from the one that we're proposing right now. And so the one that we're proposing right now, or that's going on right now, is still essentially the go-no-go decision for a county project under AB 2701. In addition to a proposed assessment under the Uniform Standby Act, the second option of pursuing a Prop 218 vote for undeveloped properties is to create what we call a resource project, and that is to not just have the wastewater infrastructure, but also include the water resource infrastructure that's necessary for those undeveloped property owners, so that under a resource project, undeveloped properties would be essentially voting on both components of infrastructure that's necessary to accommodate new development. Also under the coastal development permit conditions, there's an issue of a habitat conservation plan. That's most likely to be a maintenance and not a capital cost issue. Still, that needs to be addressed before new development can occur. And then lastly, the update to the county's general plan needs to occur. So there's a number of conditions that are established by the Coastal Commission that have to be met before we can promise that or guarantee that undeveloped property owners can connect. And
from a bigger policy perspective, we're very sensitive to the idea that we not hold out false hope, that there are four major steps that have to occur. And from the Board of Supervisors' standpoint, a revisitation of our general plan for Los Osos at the point where we have the resources squared away, or at least on a path to being squared away, is fundamentally important. So under the general heading of fairness, we have decided to delay that. With the looking down into Pablo's schedule, we see that somewhere toward the end of 08, that we should have these things pretty well lined up and ready for a second 218 vote. You know, we can at that point also be ready to consider others outside the prohibition zone who might voluntarily want to connect to the wastewater system as a matter of convenience.
And if I might, in my final comment, we have already initiated our discussions with the owners of undeveloped properties, certainly especially some of the major property owners, and have received, you know, just sort of the validation that they understand where they're going, actually appreciation also, because they recognize that water resources is an issue. One of the major undeveloped property owners asked me, well, what assurances that I can give him that we'll actually work on the water situation as well. AB 2701 gives the board the direct authority on the wastewater project, but only authorizes cooperation with the water purveyors on the water side. So he asked me what assurances. And sort of part A to the answer is, well, that certainly is part of my job to try to address resource issues. But the second one, and really the most compelling one in terms of major motivation, is there's $154 million of estimated special benefits. The special benefits for the developed property owners, this current Proposition 218 vote, is $127 million. There's $27 million that's on the table relating to undeveloped property owners that we have to address the issues of the undeveloped property owners in order to augment the project funding and get that other $27 million, extremely critical for our overall efforts. Again, positive responses so far with the major property owners that we have met with. And I might add also that as we've been getting sort of the flood of phone calls over the last week since the 218 ballots, certainly this project on a week-to-week basis has been very challenging. And you know, it's been very warm. We have gotten a lot of positive phone calls and emails from individuals within the community thanking us for our efforts. And, you know, the idea of just feeling appreciated certainly has been very good on this otherwise very challenging project.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the board? Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. Make sure I can be heard. I just wanted to reiterate my comments from July in terms of the county's approach to finding a solution to Los Osos, for the Los Osos situation. And, you know, I think the opportunity to consider the broader context in which we are looking at wastewater treatment and also the water supply needs and considering disposal options, new technologies that might allow us to consider sustainability. I know that's a big priority for most in the community, as well as cost. And so, you know, the balance between those two is really going to be the hard point at which people are going to have to make decisions. I don't see in all of your evaluations, I do appreciate the fact that you've tried to summarize, because I know some of the details and the technical elements of this, there are some folks that are paying attention to it, following it very, yes, very closely and asking very hard questions. There are others who really don't have that opportunity, but providing these summary data tables so that some bigger comparisons can occur, I think it's also very beneficial. And in the end, I think the cost factors are going to be, they're weighting no matter what direction we go.
They're absolutely something that we consider every day that we think about this project. This cost estimates do pose a significant financial burden to the community. Paul and I are going to be participating with the Regional Council of Rural Counties. This is an issue statewide, and I think we are leading, you know, we're one of the leading examples of a very serious challenge for a community that is not disadvantaged technically, but certainly not affluent, and this is going to be a very difficult situation. In reference to your summary, I to commend the project team for the efforts. I tried to get Pablo to bring down the stack of paper that is the technical documentation, but he said that was a clear violation of county work rules, that carrying that much weight in one armful was against his contract. We are making a tremendous effort to get information out to the community, and that is the job of the day for us. We are, as Pablo indicated, scheduling the it's not on that slide, but we are scheduling the 29th for an all-afternoon meeting at Sunnyside School in Los Osos, where all this information will be. Direct mail, the website, my office hours, board meetings, and Pablo and I have been meeting with various service groups and other organizations doing what I call the retail side of getting the information out. And it really is incumbent on the community, as you can expect, to dig in on this, because an informed choice is extremely important.
Yeah, and also I think the effort to prioritize a outcome that services the Prohibition Sound residents.
Absolutely, and let me just your comment on sustainability and cost. You know, I would think if we take the long view that sustainability and cost are not necessarily, in fact, not at all things that need to be traded off. If we're really taking the long view, sustainability has to consider the long-term cost of this project. And as we get down into this process, assuming the success of this 218 vote, we will be looking at a number of environmental and engineering concerns and value engineering concerns that speak directly to that. We understand that this is a big deal that's going to have to last a long time, and it needs to be sustainable in all ways for this community.
Okay. I think that's it. I want to thank both of you, and I commend you for weathering the storm and getting everything to this point in time. So we will see what happens. But thank you for coming and giving us the update. At this point, I guess we will have our speakers, public speakers. And so, folks, we have 26 cards. Okay. I'm only allocating 1 hour for public comment, and so, folks, this is not a board action item. There's nothing pending before the board on this. This is just the county's status report. If someone feels that they need to address any issue that the county has put forth today, you can take that up with your county officials at any point in time after today. Okay. Okay, I have 30 cards now, so we're going to limit comment to 2 minutes each. And we will begin with Keith Weimer, Joey Ricano, Chris Alibi. Mr. Richards is still there with us?
I'm still here.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Keith Weimer. I live in the Prohibition Zone. I'm passing on a letter here to you that I just composed recently. It's from my wife and I. I'll highlight the points. We have some actions that we are requesting of you to help and to support the 218 vote. And First, we ask that you vacate the CDOs and the CAO settlement agreements. We've indicated that we do support your important mission as a water board, but we believe that the success of the mission depends on the board demonstrating fairness and equity. And I will say that I don't feel that they're being treated equal, even though they're put in abeyance or whatever technical term that is. Second, we ask that you assure us and our neighbors that you will not use the 218 ballots as a basis for enforcement actions. Like all Americans, we are averse to having our vote coerced. The action would allay our concern that a threat exists. And third, we request that you do not allow Roger Briggs to handle the LOWWP matters. In a recent letter to the Board of Supervisors and to the LOWWP project team, he's lobbied for a particular project, Tri-W, and against a particular technology, step collection. We are certain he's already has his mind up, his mind made up about the alternatives. I wanted to thank Dr. Hunter just briefly for bringing up sustainability. It really does give me a lot of hope that somebody is going to be looking at that very closely on the board. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Mr. Ricano.
Honorable board, staff, friends, friends at home, Joey Ricano with the Ocean Outfall Group. Thanks for having us here today. Mr. Ogren, thank you very much for your exemplary work. I find it very hopeful to think that should a 218 vote pass, that regional will be looked at. I think that I have to echo the words of board member Hunter, sustainability cost. I think that it's important to remember that that cost is going to be connected to going regional. There can be no doubt that a regional solution to these problems, it can't help but bring costs down for the communities involved. I've given you a packet that shows some of the problems that I see with the local issues, and they're all connected to this issue. I'm glad that the Tri-W I'm glad that the Tri-W permit has expired and died a natural death. I've been involved with this issue for Los Osos for about 2 years now. Spent time in jail for it. You know, I can't help but get emotional. I really do appreciate the work you're doing, and I'm not going to be beleaguer any points. What I'm going to do is make a very simple point that I think that this community needs me to make, and you need me to make as well. Personally, I think that right now the community has the ball in their court for the very first time, and I think that a 218 vote should be passed. However, in order for this community to pass that 218 vote and for us to move forward with the solution to these problems, the Regional Water Quality Control Board has to meet the community halfway, because you're working together. You've got no choice. You're stuck with each other. What you need to do is not hold these CDOs in abeyance. You need to vacate them, because anything else could be construed as the appearance of impropriety, and I know you don't have any impropriety.
Can you wrap it up, Mr. Ricano?
Yes, Mr. Young. And I just want to say that at this point in time, let's get it done. I think that we're going to wind up with a great project, and let's not make all of this have been in vain.
Okay. Thank you for your comment, Mr. Ricano.
Thank you for this opportunity to address you today.
Mr. Alibi, followed by Bo Cooper, and then Al Barrow.
Hey, Chris Alvey. I'm CDO number 1019. Okay. I've had to cut what I was going to say back quite a bit here now. So, at a previous meeting I was attending, one of the speakers stated that it doesn't matter if we're polluting. The law says we're polluting. Now, what kind of attitude is that for Americans to have? It sounds more like page one of the Dictator's Handbook. The Grand Potentate declares Europe, you have a pollution problem when all tests say otherwise, so you are a pollution problem. That attitude baffles me. It seems to me we had a little war called the Revolution to do away with such attitudes and oppression. No wonder there's so much opposition to this project. No one is sick or dying here, and much cleaner and more efficient systems are on the horizon. I am for a septic maintenance system and reasonable mandatory pumping of present tanks until these newer systems can be evaluated and public grants can be arranged for financing. Should be plenty of funds available in a couple of the wars we are in are now over. Figure our sewer system ought to cost about half a dozen cruise missiles or a couple of tanks. Should take care of that. I came up with a solution for your funding problem today. Lower the property tax assessments on all our property down to the point that the $2,000 a year is taken care of, and everybody's happy except the county who caused the problem in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Bo Cooper.
Hi, Bo Cooper, Chairman Young. You said there will not be selective enforcement. Everyone will be treated the same. I believe you believe that. And I believe you'll do that, actually. What I will ask you, though, is will the Water Board make a commitment today not to look at individual ballots? People are afraid to vote because they are disclosable public documents. People are afraid that the Water Board will look at it and that they may be held accountable somehow for voting no. So if you could give me a commitment and give the public a commitment that there'll be no individualized looking at the ballots at all, that would be a big help. Also, the question is, what will the Water Board do if Prop 218 fails? Why we do the CDOs and the CAOs? In the past, Harvey Packard said it would be pretty difficult to convince us if the project doesn't move forward. If the benefits assessment is not approved, the benefits assessment needs to be approved. How many times, says Harvey Packard, how many times will we say one more chance? This is that one more chance. The appearance is that the county process that we're doing now is the only chance we have. If we don't vote yes, there'll be a punishment. I'd like to know, is that true? Will it be a punishment? What will that punishment be? And that's about it for that. So those two questions. And the graphs they show for attachment G do not correspond to what your packets have. The numbers were different. The numbers were higher on the costs on the blue part, the part that had to do with assessments. If you check back and see those graphs, they only quite scenario B and C, but they're different from what's in the packet that you have. So please double check that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Al Barrow, followed by Gail McPherson, and then Tom Murphy.
Good afternoon, wardens, public. My name is Al Barrow. I live in Los Osos. I'm a renter, so I'm a client for about one half of the property owners in Los Osos. When the ballots went out, only 2,500 of them went out to Los Osos. The rest were in other areas. So I wanted you to know that.
Could you speak a little louder, Mr. Barrow?
I'm talking pretty good, I thought.
Well, people in the audience are saying they can't hear you. I can hear you.
Can I start over again, please? Okay. There's no money for renters or landlords to defray that cost, so it's going to be a big impact to them, and I would say they would be reluctant. I have a letter here that I'm going to share with you and submit to you. It's from Orenco. Orenco is the step collection experts in the country. A member of their team, Dana Ripley, is sitting here today. That team is prepared to bring their private capital in and build a project, request for proposals, response on a competitive basis, either if the assessment is successful or not. I would like to change the subject a little bit. AB 2701 ties the county's hands. The county cannot take this project. They cannot commit to the project until after the due diligence. That's part of the law. And that is not going to occur until next spring. I think you really need to consider, instead of making your target whether the assessment passes or fails, but when the county decides to take over the project, if they do, and they seem to be intending on doing that. I think you need to read carefully 2701 because the county does not have as much leeway as one might think. Right now, for example, since they haven't taken the project, they can't issue a competitive request for proposal. So they can't find out what the project is because they don't know what people are willing to build it for. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Gail,
do we have public comment coming up later?
We do, but it's for things not on the agenda.
Right.
This is on the agenda.
Thank you.
Gail McPherson.
Good afternoon, Chairman Young, distinguished board and staff and public. I'm Gail McPherson. I live in Los Osos. I'll talk as loud as you need to help you hear. I first want to commend the county on their activities. They've gone through an incredible amount of paper and time and effort and public meetings, and I think that it was a good statement to say that challenges and opportunity, and I think that that's a creative approach that they've taken, and they've worked very hard on what they've produced. They also have left openings for other technologies and proposals outside of the PROCON analysis. And so I'm very much in support of what they're doing. I supported a project at the recall and at the compromise. I've always supported a project, and I think we're actually getting there with something that might make some sense for us. Building trust and confidence is the key, and hand in glove is the best value and the lowest cost. Technology and funding work hand in glove. They're not mutually exclusive. The mistakes of the past and can't be repeated. And I guess I'm talking to you, Mr. Young, because I think that you spoke for the board and said that we cannot vacate these orders. But the truth is all, if you sent out a letter noticing this item and gave the opportunity for people to say yes in that letter, I do not need a hearing for you to vacate my order. It could happen very fast. There is a method to do that very quickly. And I don't think people would protest having you vacate those. That does return us to a level playing field, and it does bring the element of an open and free vote to the people. I also am hopeful that the lifeline charges to help people, $3,000 a year is quite a bit if you have $15,000 total income. And I want you to keep that in mind. I get calls with people crying and telling me that they are voting yes. They are voting yes, I am leaving my home. And that is not the kind of yes we want. Environmental justice issues and sustainability.
Can you please wrap up?
Yes. I'll just end with begging you, please, vacate the CDOs. Let us move forward and have a successful project.
First of all, just so everyone is aware, the comment is not just for the recipients. It's public comment on board action. Public means the general public also. It cannot be done administratively. So I don't know who's giving you that information, but I have been advised by our counsel, Mr. Richards, that it has to happen as a noticed agenda item.
And that is about a 60-day process?
It takes about 60 days, I think, yeah.
And we asked in May, and we asked in July, and now we're asking again.
And we've answered that before, okay? We will deal with everybody the same. We're not going to deal with the 45 at this point in time.
What I would ask is that the entire board make that decision and not just you. Thank you.
Okay. Tom Murphy and then Elizabeth Allaby.
Okay. My name is Tom Murphy. I would just like to put a little input on the notice of violations and cease and desist orders. There's a federal law referred to as the U.S. Code. It's the Water Pollution Control Act of 1948, which was basically adopted by Congress, certain modifications of it. In 1972, and in that U.S. Code, which supersedes state law, there was a requirement in Section 1311A that required that basically it's unlawful for any person to discharge any pollutants. And associated with that statute, it required, which was established, actually that came into effect December 29th of 1977, that any regulatory authority was to require technology that would eliminate the discharge of pollutants to be applied at each source. I believe that every septic tank that has been permitted by this county since 1977 is in direct violation of that statute. And I believe it's the county's responsibility to clean up the pollutants associated with those. So you should retract both the notice of violation and the cease and desist orders, because they're your responsibility and not these people's responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Elizabeth Allaby, folks, you know, I've asked you in previous meetings to not clap. And we have an officer in the back. I don't know your last name, officer. What? Okay. If anyone claps again, would you please just kindly ask them to leave the room? All right. It's disruptive. Elizabeth Allaby?
Elizabeth Allaby, CDO 1019. Board members, Mr. Ogren, Mr. Gibson, we bought our home 18 years ago. We knew the economic situation was different here. It took me 8 years to make the same money I was making in the LA area. But we knew that going in. What we did not know was that after 18 years, the county who permitted my home built 30 years ago, we decide now that I should mortgage it to pay for their mistake, pressured by the water board. My house is still not paid for, and I'm going on 60 years old. We paid taxes for 18 years to this county. Now we are facing paying for fines or another mortgage. $25,000 or more. It seems to me that building a wastewater system would come under the public works project, and the county, who still gives permits when there is a building moratorium in this Los Osos Basin, water shortage, and only 4,400 people to pay for it. It's highway robbery in my book. Board members, Mr. Gibson keeps talking about trust. Well, we trusted the old CSD who put us in this mess with you behind closed doors. And you are punishing us because we changed our CSD.
Ms. Allaby, would you
and
please wrap? Would you please wrap it up?
Went down the drain.
Would you please wrap it up?
Do what is right. Vacate all the CDOs. They are taxpayers who might not be able to pay for their taxes, water increase, wastewater project.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Allaby. Please step away from the podium.
Their family food, college.
Lawson, Schaller.
They certainly won't be able to pay for fines, Mr.
You're taking
Young.
Away from other people's
I
time.
I don't know how you can go to your families at night and sleep. We haven't slept very well in Los Osos for quite a long time.
Please step aside.
Think about
Officer,
economic consequences.
Assist this lady.
And don't forget that clean water concerns everybody.
Thank you very much for your comments. Lawson Schaller, followed by I think Ann Norant, and then Gail McPherson, not again, and then David Dugan. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman Young and Board and fellow citizens. My name is Lawson Schaller. I live in Los Osos. I'd like to thank Paavo and Bruce for coming out today. I was pleased to see the exchange of information and dialogue between them and you. I think that I'm hoping that will be part of the path to a successful project that I think we all want. There's been a lot of conversation about the CDOs today. I've heard your comments, Mr. Young. They are.
Something
changing the vote, there's certainly that perception. So if in any way that can be backed off, I think it would be very helpful for the community to get a good quality vote. And I think that's what we all want.
So if there's a solution to that later, I heard your comments and I understand them. The other thing I'd like to just quickly highlight is, assuming we have a successful 218 vote, I hope you would reconsider some of the timelines. We've got complex issues, as Mr. Jeffries pointed out. One of the ones that concern me the most is the seawater intrusion. I don't know if the board is aware, but we have saltwater intruding at typically 60 feet a year, under some precursors, up to 200 feet a year. I've spoken to a couple engineers locally, intimately familiar with the details of the engineering. One estimate is the lower, largest aquifer only may be around 10 years, may only have 10 years left in it. So I just want to make you aware of that. I don't know if you were aware of it, but it's a critical resource. I don't know how much responsibility the board has in protecting that or taking action to try to protect it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Ann Norwin.
Ann Norwin, Los Osos. I also would have been wanted to reiterate that I've been quite grateful to Paavo Ogren and his team. I've been quite impressed with their ability to, and particularly Paavo's ability to grapple with very complex details and a lot of difficult issues. This is going to be a difficult project to really deliver. And I appreciate the Water Board scheduling the time to hear the county out today. I remember the meeting back in May where we had some dialogue back and forth, and this is a really productive turn of events. As you know, the 218 ballots are out, and I think, you know, people in Los Osos really want to see a positive resolution to this process. They are being asked to fund an unspecified project, and I think that type of situation brings on quite a bit of responsibility to government agencies to make sure that the project that is delivered is really the optimal one for Los Osos in terms of affordability, sustainability, and a big gorilla under sustainability is also balancing the water basin. You know, it's very important that there not be a perception of bias as this process moves forward. We don't want to see anything that undermines the process of the project moving forward. So, you know, requests for that should be taken very seriously. There are concerns in the community that there is bias on the part of the Water Board or Corolla Engineering in terms of conventional gravity selection. That's very gratifying to hear Paavo talk about alternative strategies, and I think minds have been opening in that regard. But I ask your board to help assist in really delivering the best project for Los Osos in a number of ways. One is backing off on timelines a little bit. You know, allow the county sufficient time to really to evaluate the right project. It's a complex situation, and balancing the water basin adds an entire, probably an exponential level of complexity to it. Another is, and I'll just finish up super quickly. You know, requiring an alternative, a separate electrical connection to people's houses for STEP really biases against using that technology. So these are underlying examples that could undermine the process. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Dugan, followed by John Hubbard, and then Richard Sadowski.
Thank you, Los Osos. First of all, as CDOs, you have to be firm, fair, and consistent. And like violations have to be enforced in a similar way. In 2004, contrary to what Dr. Press has said, no CDOs were issued prior to these current ones. Five were issued to individual property owners in Los Osos who live in the prohibition zone. The requirements of those CDOs was to have good set system maintenance management, not use more than 375 gallons of water, as well as hook up to a wastewater treatment facility when it was made available. That's it. No threats. Nothing like the current CDOs. Is that firm, fair, and consistent for like violations? No. So I would say that you guys are going to lose in the courts over these CDOs. Vacated them, huh? I would say continue with the lawsuits. Have these done in the courts. Perhaps the citizens get their money back. through the courts, but how many they spend on litigation. Let's go to your role in the process. I would ask this board to direct staff not to interfere with any funding mechanisms which the county may try to seek out. They interfered with the Blakely compromise, and they also went through the state board and said, don't let them have their SRF funding any longer. This staff has worked against the people of the community. I think that this board is obligated to direct staff to help the community to obtain money and funding. And I also want to say that we should be looking at a 0% interest loan through legislation, and that staff and this board should ask that to be done. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Hubbard?
Chairman Young, I'm the board. This is the first time I've had the pleasure to address the people. I did send you a letter that was part of the board pack for your May meeting, if you recall. The matter of CDOs, I would wish people would remember that they didn't want to see CDO, you offered them a settlement. And they had that opportunity to do that. You are also under litigation. And I would want to, once you're under litigation, and that's the process that people are going. And I read that case plus the demur. And not only do they want to remove the cease and desist, they want the court to issue an order stopping you from now into the future for any enforcement actions against any individuals. So why would I pay your money? Why just close up the board? I mean, nothing's going to be done, and you can try to explain that to other people and try to defend enforcement actions. So to me, this isn't causing any problems. I mean, this is a fake problem. And I got my doubt, my wife and I, we bought a home in Los Osos about 8 years ago, and at the time, I would have spent a third more for Morro Bay to buy the similar house because we didn't have the infrastructure. And I did at the time the CSD is being formed, and I anticipated the sewer was going to come in, so I didn't know it was going to take quite as long to all these problems. It's quite as expensive as it is now being made. But, this is needing to be done. And when I was on the finance committee with the old board, I mean, I was Roger Briggs was very gracious. And when the bids came in high, because you have people at the airport picketing and telling the people, we don't want you here, go away. And prior to that, they had the de novo hearing of the Coastal Commission, where we had 13 bids in at that time. We had to send them back unopened because of that. So no wonder we got a project that wasn't as affordable as it would have been in a more competitive bidding situation. So that, and the other thing I want to touch on.
Can you wrap it up?
Wrap it up, I guess. I just want to say I really appreciate all the courtesy and kindness you people have shown.
Thank you for your comments. Richard Sadowski, followed by Alan Perlman, and then Don Bearden.
I would like to remind the board that Mr. Hubbard is the one that had sent letters to find individuals on septic tanks. My name is Richard Sadowski. I'm a grade 4 wastewater collection system operator and a fluid dynamics operations engineer by profession. And I would like to present an argument why the Regional Water Board should agendize and vacate CDOs against the citizens of Los Osos and not be complicit with selective enforcement. I have worked in Morro Bay and Cayucas, and I'm quite familiar with the dilapidated wastewater collection and conveyance system that is shared by California State Parks, Morro Bay, and Cayucas. I have personally televised and analyzed miles of collection infrastructure in Cayucas and Morro Bay. During the summer of 2004, I met with regional board staff and Cayucas Sanitary District Board staff, Morro Bay staff, and attorneys for Morro Bay, Cayucas, and the Pacific Legal Foundation to discuss issuance of two more 301H sewage waiver for the Morro Bay Wastewater Treatment Plant. During that meeting, regional board staff, where Roger Briggs was present, I made it aware that the failing conditions of the collection and conveyance infrastructures of Morro Bay and Cayucas. That said, I am respectfully asking that this board vacate the CDOs issued to the citizens of Los Osos and take a regional approach to the pollution problems threatening our new SMR and Estero Bay, the problems of inflow and infiltration in our conveyance system, and exfiltration of raw sewage into our soil in Morro Bay and Cayucas and state parks is significant enough to merit a regional approach. I have a solution which I call the blue carpet treatment for eBay, for Estero Bay. And basically, it's patterned after the Petaluma's wetlands restoration project. Morro Bay and Cayucas and state parks would repair their dilapidated infrastructure, and Los Osos would install a small pipe system, and these communities would monitor their wastewater through that plant.
Would you, please wrap it up?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to leave you a report that for your staff that describes the dilapidated infrastructure in Morro Bay and Cayucas.
Okay. All on Perlman.
Hello, my name is Alon Perlman. I'm from the Prohibition Zone. I recently had hernia surgery, and I have a scar now. And during my recuperation, I have been reading the Harry Potter book, and I found out my scar reacts very violently to government malfeasance. And it's twitching right now. And near me here is Pavel Ogren, and it's not twitching. There will be other times and venues where I am a member of the Los Osos Community Advisory Council. There are other times and venues where I might be criticizing the county. But in this particular process, they are following AB 2701 to the letter and are fulfilling its intent, because the public commentary, which is coming from the same Los Osos crazies that you've ridiculed in the past, is actually assisting the TAC in providing extremely highly detailed, technically valid, and CEQA-directed documents. It's very much a success story. And so what I am appealing to you now is to cease and desist from further interference with the CEQA process. You've been interfering with the CEQA process continuously ever since 83 or so. The water board science is a joke. The other state agencies, which have been directed by Governor Schwarzenegger to restore the fisheries, consider your work to be a joke. They're all aware of the fact that the secondary treatment that you had staff testify before you as far as secondary treatment water from Morro Bay, you focused on the clean water component of the sewage stream as being the measure of pollution. And I don't need to go into detail on that. You are a joke. You are the weakest link in the government's directives. And the only way you can restore yourself is to actually remove yourself as much as possible from the county's process. You have been accused of electioneering, and I believe that is very easily sustained.
Can you please wrap it up, Mr. Perlman?
I'm placing you all present, including the staff, under citizen's arrest for impersonating a regulatory agency.
Okay. Thank you for your comments, Mr. Perlman. I hope your rash goes away. Mr. Bearden.
Don Bearden, Los Osos Prohibition Zone. When the Los Osos CSD stopped work on the Tri-W project in 2005, I came before you and urged you to take over the project and have the county or some other entity complete it. If you had done that then, we would be connecting to a sewer system by now. The enforcement you chose was towards individual homeowners who were powerless in this struggle. The only solution was and is a wastewater treatment plant. Targeting powerless individuals, homeowners, is not effective. I have already voted yes on the 218 vote. If the 218 assessment vote fails, I urge you to take over the project by any legal means and get a sewer system built for Los Osos. Wasting more time on individual enforcement actions will not get a sewer system built. If nothing else, bring in the Army Corps of Engineers and restart the Tri-W project. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Steve Page, followed by Julie Tacker, and then Chuck Cisena.
The zero discharge order creates a huge Achilles heels for the state. The 45 in-process CDOs expose the state to the legal challenge that the CDO discharge is a regulatory taking under federal law. It further is weakened by no regulatory taking study being done under EO 12630 Ronald Reagan, who was an advocate for property rights. Further, no cost-benefit analysis has been done on the zero discharge order, and that is discussed in the City of Arcadia versus the Regional Water Quality Control Board. You probably know of that ruling. Zero discharge discriminates against low-income homeowners under Environmental Justice Law Code 65040.2. These 45 CDOs expose the Water Board to all of these issues, and if they're not vacated, then somebody could come along and basically make mincemeat of the county's assessment basis, because the zero discharge order, as Mr. Pogren has said, is the basis for the assessment. And if it goes away, if somebody challenges it and goes away, then everything that you have set up here, this whole room full of people, everything turns to dust, because you have basically chosen to create an order, the zero discharge order, that is a regulatory taking under federal law. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Julie Tacker, Chuck Sassana, and then Dr. Mary Fullwood. Julie Tacker. Okay, I'll put her down at the bottom. Mr. Sassana, and Dr. Mary Fullwood, and then Mark Lowe.
Good afternoon, Chairman Young and fellow board members. My name is Chuck Sassini. I'm speaking as a resident of Los Osos, not as the president of the Community Services District. I'd like to start with expressing regret for a misstatement that appeared in the Tribune from me recently. It was an accurate quote. For a change, I don't have to take the Tribune to task for something. If you missed it, my quote was, "I would rather partner with the county than the Water Board." That was a misstatement, because I will partner with anyone who wants a sustainable and affordable solution to our problem. It's just, I think we're in a better position to partner with the county, and I'm not just saying that because their fine screening report completely validates the actions of our community in the fall of 2005. The Tri-W project is and was the worst thing studied, the worst alternative studied. That's still true today. That fine screening report also invalidates Mr. Young's statement of about a year ago that your board needed to teach Los Osos how to vote. That and these selective random enforcement actions are the two greatest impediments to a successful assessment result. Exhibits A and B in potential lawsuits, as Mr. Page just mentioned, they're on tape. I urge you to vacate and not hold in abeyance the randomly selected enforcement actions. Holding them in abeyance is like holding a knife to someone's throat and saying, "I'm not going to increase the pressure." That's critical. It's important. The last few board meetings, we've heard a different tone from some of your board members. I believe there was a mention of a virtuous, not a vicious cycle. Thank you. Level the playing field. The time is now, not after the 218 vote. Then it's all undone. The vote could go up in flames, even a yes vote. Actions speak louder than words. We all know that. It's time for you to act. The community's been asked to act. Not long ago, one of your staff members suggested to me that I send flowers instead of firebombs with my messages to you. I think that's good advice for all of us. Please vacate, not hold in abeyance. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Dr. Mary Fullwood. And then after Mark Lowe, we will take a short break.
My name is Dr. Mary Fullwood. I'm a resident of Los Osos. And I will not cast my vote on the 218 until you do the necessary noticing now and to rescind all active enforcements and bring each and every resident to a place of equality as they enter this very significant decision. Rescinding the active enforcements would be a gesture of leadership, support of the county's process, as well as prudent in an effort to avoid contaminating the vote with potential litigation. Furthermore, it would be a true act of leadership to follow your guidelines of firm, fair, and consistent, as well as your very own words spoken here on May 10th, 2007. Dave Hodgen, "I have no interest in assessing a lot of fines and penalties. I just want to get the job done." Chairman Jeff Young, "Equalize enforcements, everyone with the same consequences." Reed Sato, "Suspending all previous penalties to bring community to a level field." John Hayashi, suspend by stipulation, Chairman Young, putting aside penalties for now. Dr. Daniel Press, sending a signal to the prosecution team that right now is a bad time for active enforcements. We want a virtuous cycle, not a vicious cycle. Once I see your support of the county process by the act of rescinding all active enforcements, I will vote my yes on the 218, but not until, as Reed Sato described, there is a level field. If I voted any sooner, it would be a betrayal to all of my neighbors in this community. Rescinding the active enforcements and rescind the active enforcements and show us your faith. In doing so, you will offer greater assurance to our community to trust the progress of the county and faith that all will be done to make the project something we are proud of and can afford. I have great faith in the county's work, but great concern that your enforcement actions will undermine them and bring forth litigation on the 218, something I do not want to see. The primary goal is care of the bay, and if the 218 and future processes are clean, the project can move forward with expediency. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mark Lowe.
Chairman Young, may I switch places with Julie Tacker? She was out of the room when her name was called, and I'll be happy to take her place at the back of the line.
That's fine.
Chivalry is not quite dead in Los Osos. That's right. It never was, Mr. Taylor. I am Julie Tacker. I'm a 36-year resident of Los Osos. I happen to be a director of the Los Osos Community Services District. I am a homeowner of properties inside and outside the prohibition zone. In 2001, the Los Osos Community Services District underwent a 218 process, and that was a public vote, just like the county's proposing today. The public nature of the vote kept the majority of voters from voting, and I believe that to be true. Majority of properties did not return their ballots. My own experience with the public vote, my vote was accessed by an individual who somehow I couldn't find in Los Osos, a fictitious person, and divulged the way I voted in a letter to the editor that was published in the countywide newspaper. This week, I sent a letter to the countywide newspaper. I copied your board. And what I am asking for you to do today is direct your staff and vow among yourselves that you will leave those ballots alone. Let the vote take place. And let the voters fear you not. There is fear in Los Osos. It should not be of the water board. My greatest fear is of seawater intrusion. We are losing our basin, and we need a sewer system that returns water to our community to be used again and again. And that takes a higher priority than the water board's strong arm and influence over the vote. I please ask you to direct your staff today to leave those ballots alone.
Mr. Chair.
Dr. Press.
Ms. Tacker, I find it utterly baffling and appalling that anybody would bother looking at those ballots. So, I've heard people say we should vow to not look at them. I'll vow to not look at them. I have absolutely no interest. I find it really not. I understand. I'm getting there. Slow down. I just really regret that the law requires them to be public. And I understand why and all that.
So do I.
I understand. I absolutely have no interest. I wouldn't dream of looking at them. I don't know that it's legal, actually, to ask any citizen not to look at what are public records. I don't think that I can do that. It's a matter of, council can weigh in on that. Of course, I think it's wrong. Of course, I think it's wrong to look at the ballots and make enforcement actions based on those. I think it's appalling. It's not it's not cricket, and it's counterproductive. So I honestly don't believe that our staff would do that. I know that people have different opinions about that, but I, for one, think it's an appalling practice, and that's what I want to be on record about.
I so appreciate your statement, Dr. Press. What I would ask is that a board's position be taken, and that your staff is specifically requested not to to seek them under your operation. Mr. Briggs, in his flip-flops and his Hawaiian shirt, could go down and look at those on his own and maybe use that information back at his workplace. But from your position, your agency's position, I'd like to see a political stance, a public statement that says we are not interested in the outcome of each ballot and we are not going to use that in enforcement. And you've just said it, but I'd like to hear it from all of you, because I am a representative of the citizens of Los Osos, and I do hear feedback
Mr.
from
Shalcross.
Citizens that are frightened by that potentiality.
Hold on.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I don't think anyone here is interested in looking at the ballots, and I'd be surprised if any of the staff is. But if indeed someone on the staff did look at the ballots and brought some sort of enforcement based on that, then it would become clear to everybody, because those are public documents. We would all know that it was brought against people
selectively.
So I think on those two counts, you don't have any worry from this board. We're not interested in who votes how, and it would become clear immediately if there was some selective enforcement that it was selective enforcement, and this board wouldn't stand for that for a minute. So
it sounds like you agree with me, Mr. Shalcross, and again, I'd like to hear it from all of you, or just that your chair make that statement.
Okay, let me just finish this. The answer is no. The reason is because we have already stated publicly that whatever happens by way of enforcement is going to happen to everybody. So the fear that there will be selective enforcement is without any justification. Okay?
And is that your statement then?
I've already said that. The board has said that. Whatever enforcement will happen in the future, it has been the board's direction to staff that everybody be treated the same. That's all that has to be said. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break for 10 minutes.
sure. And that's what I'd like to do.
Good afternoon, Chairman.
Thank you.
Honorable Board, Supervisor Gibson, and Deputy Public Works Director Pablo Ogren. I'm here today. My name is Mark Lowe. I'm president of Modern Hunter. I'm here today in a consultant capacity in order to introduce to your level of the board a product that wasn't available 2 years ago called the Reclamator. It repurifies domestic wastewater to drinking water quality standard. And there's been a proposal offered to your water board and to the county that would provide that service for $75 million total complete cost. There would be no disruption to the streets. It would not require any CEQA studies because it would simply involve, much like replacing an incandescent light bulb with a compact fluorescent lamp, you simply unscrew the old septic tank and put in that same hole, a little larger, a full-blown water repurification device. It has a filter membrane in it and, as I say, produces drinking water quality that could simply continue to remediate or fill the aquifer by remediating the current drain fields and taking those nitrogens and thinning them down and would give the possibility for, in the future, as technology, as the space program has demonstrated, so many things come off of when one technology is in place, it allows a platform for other technologies to be in place, which would be use that water instead of all of it going back into the aquifer. You could divert a portion of it for toilet flushing or clothes washing, and then thereby alleviating and using less water overall, which I think in 5 years, if the county process goes on unencumbered, it will be my child, who's almost 10, will be almost 16 by the time the first toilet is flushed. And if it is the board's desire to eliminate the discharge of pollutants as is required, this would certainly be this project would be complete in 2 years. And I hope to be, we'll be in the community for the next, well, we're here in the community in order to make the service available, and we hope to be getting more out to everyone.
Thank you for your comments. Sandra Hedges. Followed by Lindy Owen, and then Glenwyn Taylor, and then Alan Martin.
Sandra Hedges, Los Osos. Good afternoon, gentlemen and ladies. I'm here to talk about the prohibition zone myself. I live on Highland Drive, and it seems to me that Bayview Heights is in pain, and Cabrillo is in pain. And I would like to, for you guys to prove to me that I'm polluting and they are not. Because years ago, we weren't going to have to pay for this. I believe that from Woodland to Highland should be taken out of the equation. If that's taken out of the equation and we still have to pay, doesn't that make it cheaper? And also, I wanted to ask Mr. Young, if this was your 98-year-old grandmother and she was going through this, because we have so many elderly people where we are, and they just live the rest of their lives, and that's all they want to do is live the rest of their lives in peace. What would you do if this was your grandmother? Because I know you have great respect for her. Also, anybody that water comes out of the tap, if you drink it, touch it, cook with it, you pay for it. Nobody is exempt. If one gets it, we all get it. And I would appreciate it if you would slack up on the fear that you guys have put through Los Osos. It's terrible. I talk to old people and I cringe. And I just wish that you guys could have a positive attitude. The people out here do feel like they're being punished. And we don't like it. And it's not just older people, it's handicapped people and young people too. Thank you. I hope you have a good day.
Thank you for your comments. Glenwyn Taylor? Pardon me, Lindy Owen.
Good afternoon, Lindy Owen. Living in the Prohibition Zone for 16 years. I have two issues to bring up. One, I've stood before you before and asked if you would consider a basin plan. It would address water pollution in the basin, which is not being addressed currently with a prohibition zone. I would like to read from the State Water Quality Control Board website from a report that was presented on December 3rd, 2004. The Warden Creek branch of Los Osos Creek exhibits the most consistent nitrate violations, supporting the conclusion that the municipal and domestic water supply beneficial use is impaired in the Warden Creek branch of Los Osos Creek. The Los Osos Creek branch of Los Osos Creek is not considered impaired for nitrates. In the next paragraph, the report states, staff determined that the primary source of nitrates is croplands. Now, when we're trying to talk about the benefits of putting in a whole sewer for a small portion of the community, you're assuming that every toilet that flushes in the prohibition zone pollutes, and every toilet outside the prohibition zone does not. With this information that the farmland is creating the highest nitrate use, I would ask that you would consider what also Peter Douglas, head of the Coastal Commission, stated in, I think it was September of last year, in front of the Talk of the Bay meeting that was held in Morro Bay, that we go with a basin-wide plan. He wanted the prohibition zones dropped. This will produce an actual method of handling water waste and water reuse in a way that we're looking at a basin plan. Putting a prohibition zone in charge of putting in a sewer is giving a special benefit to others who are not doing a thing and not being asked to do a thing. Thank you. I also would like to ask what happened to septic management 8312 mandated the same day as the cease and desist orders. It's a reason to drop cease and desist orders. This was never followed.
Thank you
septic
for your
management
comment.
Would have made some kind of difference.
Thank you for your comments. Lenwyn Taylor.
Good afternoon. My name is Gwen Taylor. I have stood up here for 35 years before different boards, different members. None of you are the same. What I would like to say to you is you've never really taken the responsibility or place the responsibility where it belongs. We have asked, as Ms. Owen just said, that there be a wastewater management district. We never got it. We have asked for a water basin plan. We've never gotten it. We've asked for a concern over the use of water, a water management plan. We have saltwater intrusion that I have spoken before at the Board of Supervisors, as well as this board, regarding the use and overuse of water in our basin. We need help now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but now. You can help us by making sure that the wastewater project recharges the groundwater basin so that we are not going to be charged for an additional charge for something that should have been taken care of a long time ago. There are numbers of us who are getting ballots that should not have received ballots in duplicate, triplicate, and quadruplicate. Why? There seems to be a process that has gone astray. This process, if you don't have it properly administrated, you are not going to have a proper administrated answer. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Mr. Martin, followed by George Taylor, and then Jerry Walsh.
Mr. Chairman, fellow members of the board, Pablo, who has done a tremendous amount of work in trying to solve a very difficult, if not almost impossible problem. I'd like to start off by telling Mr. Press and lauding him for taking the high ground, the moral high ground, regarding the possibility of the selective enforcement of people as to how they vote, and also for Mr. Shellcross and agreeing to not encourage that. However, I can tell you categorically, I've lived in Los Osos 42 years. I saw the district, the CSD district, form under a cloud. What cloud was it? We were told that there was a ponding solution that could be built by Pandora and Ash Carner, that she could build it for $30 million less, and that we should abandon the county plan that the county had in motion at that particular time for $70 million. The district is formed. It was formed under a lie. It continued to operate under a lie. And the ponding solution was never a viable solution. I came to talk to your executive director, Mr. Briggs, right after the district was formed and asked him categorically, Mr. Briggs, are you going to approve the so-called Pandora Nash Corner cheaper batter solution for Los Osos? He said, absolutely not. I was shocked. The community had just voted in a CSD, and we had done that under a lie, and five directors were elected under a lie, and that set the tone for the rest of what we're facing here. We would not be here if that district had been formed legitimately, and it was not, Mr. Chairman. And I am sorry to say that people are operating, and they're coming before you concerned about retribution, retaliation, intimidation, and if the 218 is going to succeed.
Can you wrap it up, Mr. Martin, please?
One last comment, that this board pulled back all the CDOs that they have granted. And I think that that would go a long way in helping the solution to the to your problem. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. George Taylor, Jerry Walsh, and then Richard Margison.
Good afternoon. My name is George Taylor, 35-year resident of Los Osos. We've buried two of the top men in this from the Water Quality Control Board, and I hope to be around here for a little while longer. What bothers me is not, in all deference to you, Chairman Young, and the board and the staff, you don't really scare me. What bothers me is this ungodly price tag that this this sewer has at the present time and is going to have in the future. We are merely being asked to put a down payment on it, and then trust us, we'll give you the full price tag in the future. I think that, you know, there's a lot of people that would much rather not be afraid of the Water Quality Control Board, because they're going to be put out of their house before you can ever get anything done. For 24 years, you haven't done a darn thing to Los Osos. And yet we are faced with this this sewer that's going to be price us out of our house, not fine us out of our house. So I think that the best thing you can do is to, if you want to really do something, is to vacate the CDOs. Other than that, you know, you don't mean you don't scare me at all. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Taylor. Jerry Walsh.
Jerry Walsh, 21 years, Prohibition Zone, Los Osos. Before I get started, I want to make it perfectly clear that I did not come here today to lobby Los Osos Prohibitionites for a yes or no check mark on their 218 ballot. That said, I did come here today to list reasons for this board and this staff why I will be voting no when it comes to my 218 ballot. Reason one. As a citizen of the United States of America, I will not be subtly coerced or threatened into voting yes by this unelected staff and board whose existence is perpetuated by the very tax dollars we all pay. I will be secure in my home against unreasonable seizure, as is afforded each of us in the Bill of Rights, and I will not allow this right to be violated. Reason two, neither this board nor this staff has publicly taken responsibility nor apologized for the biased, overreaching assistance Lori Okun and staff provided Richard LeGros, Gordon Hensley, and Taxpayers Watch in October of 2005, when this group appeared in court in pursuit of an injunction to stop the post-recall, democratically elected Los Osos CSD board from stopping the Tri-W project. I guess responsibility for one's actions only cuts one way when it concerns a Los Osos wastewater project. We need to be responsible for discharge from our septic tanks, unfettered by cost, but Roger Briggs gets a pass when staff goes on a reconnaissance mission.
Reason three, based on my belief that by now, well, in advance of this assessment proceeding, this board should have vacated all CDO/CAO/notice of violation orders. Vacation, not abeyance. This would have leveled the playing field for all to vote their will instead of their fears. Reason four, my conscience will not allow me to vote yes for an assessment that, although I may be able to afford, may I finish?
You can wrap it up.
Will force some of my friends and neighbors to sell their homes and leave Los Osos. Moving because you lose a job promotion, closer to family, medical reasons, these are all legitimate reasons for moving from Los Osos. Not, I'm moving because I can't afford my sewer bill.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for your comments, Ms. Walsh. Richard Marketson, then Keith Swanson, followed by Lisa Schicker.
Richard Marketson, I can't believe I heard Mr. Young say, I guess we'll just have to wait to see what happens with the 218 before we do anything about the CDO issue. If you had started and directed staff back in May, no matter what your noticing requirements are, today, you could have been vacating those orders. And you act like it's a big, time-consuming process. How many people that have them do you think would be coming up here and saying, oh, no, I don't want you to vacate my order. I want to keep it. How long a process do you think this would take? Do you think there would be any argument from any of these people? Electioneering, unappropriate or inappropriate. There was a discussion earlier about incremental tax financing and the cost of this project. We've heard the $200 figure tossed around, and incremental tax financing may be an opportunity for the community to actually get something back. How does incremental tax financing happen, though, folks? It happens because there's an increase in the property tax rolls. Who pays for that? The people whose homes have gone up in price. So if the average house goes up $50,000 on top of everything else, you get $500 added a year to your property tax bill. Goes to the county, goes to the state, comes back into, as a percentage. That hasn't been worked into the calculations, folks. It's an assessment, it's interest, it's O&M, and now we're looking at increased property taxes. There's been no discussion from the county, from the assessor. Assessor's never done a presentation before the county on how this is going to work.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Margetson. Mr. Swanson?
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. First of all, I just want to point out that the Los Osos CSD, for some reason, has stopped doing their groundwater testing for nitrates. The last report was done in October of 2006. I think that's of interest to the basin and the customers and water quality for the water board to know that, as well as Los Osos. But I want to go back to the history of all of this, is that the Regional Water Quality Control Board came to some realization that, hey, there's a lot of houses here and there's no sewer. Okay, well, let's establish 8312, 8313 and create a moratorium. The county permitted all of those homes prior to that, and then you guys allow 5 years of construction of 1,140 homes, which can be attributed to the exacerbation of nitrate increase and our overdraft that exists today. You guys are culpable, and the county is culpable for this. I shouldn't be responsible for this. Where is all the money that's been set aside when all these homes were built for infrastructure? And why are we, all this was deferred until today or in the future for an assessment for something that should have been done a long time ago. But we're now paying in the rears for all the mistakes that have been done before. And that's unjust and it's not fair. There should be a fair share of this water board or the state to pay for this project, and for the county to pay for this project, and I think that the community of Los Osos should be responsible for O&M, and that is it. Because the infrastructure, look at the community of Los Osos, 14,000 people live there, and no sewer. Morro Bay has 10,000 people that live there, and they have a sewer, and they're not paying anywhere near $200 a month. I wish the county had done an assessment of $3,000 this time, find out what's the project that rises to the top
and then I would vote yes on it. But I cannot give them $25,000 for something I'm not aware of.
Thank you for your comments. Lisa Schicker, followed by Steve Sennett, and then Lori McCombs, and lastly, Kathleen Jensen.
Good afternoon. My name is Lisa Schicker. I'm a LOCST board member and a citizen of Los Osos. First of all, thank you to the county and Supervisor Gibson for the report and concerns about the vacating of the CDOs. It is a big issue. I sit at meetings every week listening to public. I really want to urge your board to hear me when I say it is a big issue that is influencing the vote in a big way. And you, all of you, could do something about that. I've asked you several times. You could be heroes and cooperative with us in Los Osos. I'm asking you again. I think it's the right thing to do. We've all compromised. Our board compromised. The county is compromised. We're asking you to compromise as well. Vacating individual CDO orders when you have the ability to enforce fairly and consistently with agencies in particular, not individuals, you have that right. You have those abilities. You don't lose them. You go a long way into a peaceful, a better outcome in Los Osos. Problems with when Mr. Young says, we are enforcing fairly, yet I've sat in this room for 2 years, and I can tell you that those 45 people and all the rest of us don't feel that way. It didn't appear that way, that you were enforcing fairly and equally. Or you are guilty for the discharge, but oh, by the way, we allowed 1,100 more homes to be built. These inconsistencies are talked about all the time. They don't make any sense to a regular person. They don't make sense. They don't wash. The science is old in the basin plan. We've got prohibition lines that don't make any sense. You folks, you are in charge of fixing those things. I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart, and I have been validated as an elected official in 2004 by what the county's produced. Everything that our task force said, everything that we've worked for and fought for about the price of a project and the kind of a project has been borne out by the reports independent of us completely. So I'm asking you, you may not have believed me then, but please believe me now. I'm speaking from the heart, and I'm asking you, your board, to do something about the situation and join us. You work for us. We're all citizens of California. We're not a corporate polluter. We want a solution. I ask for your assistance. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Steve Sennett.
Good afternoon, Chairman Young and board members. I'd like to take up a practical issue with regard to the CDOs. You're going to levy enforcement equally. So why not do it after you need to enforce? You do not need to enforce. You've already admitted to that. You can enforce after, you know, whenever enforcement is warranted. There's a practical issue to these letting these CDOs stand as they are. There's a required administrative relief that has to be pursued. This process involves a lot of money. You yourselves are using taxpayer money to pursue this, to oppose the administrative process to get relief for these citizens. The CSD is involved as an affected party. We're allocating resources to deal with this issue. Put an end to it right now. You can start this up whenever you, at your own discretion, later on when it's if and when it's needed. So don't waste another dime. Just don't pursue it. And end it, so there is no need for an administrative relief process. And I have to admit, when I came up here, I drove up in the parking lot, and I was nervous. I saw that chemical toilet, and I was relieved to see the bathrooms were functioning. So I do thank you. I want to express a lot of support, total support for the county process, and I think we can work out our issues with regard to affordability and the most affordable project, the best project, through the county process. And I'm committed to that. And I appreciate you allowing me to talk today.
Thank you for your comments. You know, just a question for staff. If we were to bring back the issue of the CDOs to the board, if we directed staff to bring that back to the board, When could that happen for reconsideration based on what staff would recommend?
Well, John, are you with us?
I'm still here, but not for long.
Okay.
I'm going to have to head off to the airport fairly soon.
Okay. The question is, how soon could we bring the issue of the CDOs back to the board? We have a... What are the noticing requirements?
Well, you just have to get the notice out.
I mean, as far as the length of time.
Excuse me?
As far as the length of time, I believe it's 30 days notice.
Yeah, typically till 30 days is the minimum amount of time necessary. I mean, the Open Meetings Act calls for 10-day notice of items on the agenda, but for a hearing, for a public hearing on a cease and desist order, which is what this is going to have to be, 30 days would be the appropriate time. So you could, if you get the notice out within the next week, you could probably do it in, toward the end of October.
Our next meeting is October 19th, and then we have a meeting in December.
Well, logistically, I think you could get an item on the agenda.
The 19th is in Santa Barbara, and yes. The December 7th is here in San Luis Obispo.
What? Yes. This would be something that the prosecution team would bring?
John, my understanding is either the prosecution team or the advisory team could schedule this item. Is that true?
Certainly, yes. If the board's desire to see that, the advisory team could schedule that kind of a proceeding.
Well, look, how much time would you need if you were to do it?
Having it logistically, putting it on the October meeting would be difficult to do.
Okay.
Hard to do it.
Well, depending on how the rest of the board feels that can comment on this, what would be the sense of the board that we have staff bring it back?
Mr. Chair, I think the time is now to have that, to schedule that hearing. I think that the December meeting is more realistic. It's here. It gives our staff time to put it together, to notice it. I'd like to see that hearing scheduled. I'm motivated by a couple things, primarily by the desire to even contributing to the perception of treating everybody fairly. I understand that why people feel that they're not. I also think that the county process is very encouraging. What I heard today, I haven't had a chance to mention it to Supervisor Gibson and Mr. Ogren, but I think that what they're doing is very encouraging, and that we want to support that. So for several reasons, I think that scheduling a hearing and logistically in December would be the way to go. So I'd like to direct our staff to do that. I don't think we need to wait for the prosecution team.
It sounds like we
can do it ourselves.
Mr. Thomas can do it as our advisor.
That's what I think.
Mr. Hodgson.
I'm a little concerned about the amount of time it would take us to do to fill the legal requirements, and I'm wondering, could this board direct staff to take no further action regarding Los Osos until the matter is brought back before the board at a noticed meeting?
I we can give that direction, and we've already done that, mm-hmm. But I think what we're hearing from the community is just a tremendous amount of angst.
Yeah.
And,
well, I was thinking in terms of something we could do today that would let people know what our feelings are.
Well,
No, there's nothing you can do today because there is no item on the agenda for action. The only thing that you can do today is provide informal direction to the advisory team and to the prosecution team, and voice whatever opinions you as individual board members or collectively would like to share with the public. But there's no action item on the agenda today, and it would be inappropriate to attempt to take some kind of action.
But my understanding from our counsel is that we can direct staff to schedule a hearing mm-hmm. on this item.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
You can direct your staff to put an item on the agenda that will allow you to hold a public hearing.
Right. Okay. So that's exactly what I'm suggesting that we do for the December meeting.
Okay. I think that would be fine. Mainly because I think a lot more is being made out of this than need be for whatever reason. And if it diffuses some of this tension somewhat, I think there may, and if there's some benefit to it, we are going to deal with them at some point in time, in one way or the other. And, to do it sooner than later, I think is fine. Mr. Jeffries, how do you weigh in on this?
I concur with you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Okay. All right. Mr. Shallcross?
I think that's fine and right. And we already have, as far as I know, directed staff to hold all enforcement on this item in abeyance. So I don't think we need to do anything further on that.
Right. Okay. Mr. Thomas.
I'd like to let Mr. Packard speak on this issue as well.
Thank you, Harvey Packard. Just want to remind the board of a couple of things that have already been brought up. One, the due dates in the 13 cease and desist orders that the board issued recently have either all passed or are far in the future. And as Mr. Shawcross mentions, we have absolutely no intention of taking any enforcement action on those 13. We talk about 45, but the board needs to remember that they only adopted 13 cease and desist orders. Of those 13, two are in the petition process still with the state board, eight are in Superior Court and being contested. I also want to, so it's our position that it's unnecessary at this time to rescind those orders. I also want to make or point out to the board that those are not the only orders that the board has issued over the years. In fact, there are many others, and it would help if the board would clarify what they have in mind at this hearing. Let me mention some of the orders. There's two cease and desist orders for community systems owned by the CSD. There's the fire station owned by the CSD. Four private mobile home parks have cease and desist orders, six condo and apartment complexes, one industrial facility, and five other single-family dwellings in Los Celsos. All told, they cover about 700 dwelling units. We're not just talking about the 13 here.
Yeah. I think we're talking about the 45 that were drawn at random.
Well, and if you look at the 45, they're settlement agreements. So what are we going to do about the settlement agreements?
Well, maybe we can talk about it at that time.
Yeah.
That's what this is to look at this whole issue and see what we...
That's what we're talking about. We can't take action right now.
Right.
So as Mr. Shawcross says, we put those on the agenda.
Yeah.
That's the agenda item.
Okay.
And we'll reach the issues that you're talking about at that point.
The hearing notice, I believe, will have to have some specificity into which CDOs you're considering.
Well, can it be an and or type scenario? I mean, if we're going to look at everything,
I don't think we're interested in looking at everything.
Well, it's a legitimate question as to whether you look at 13 and you leave others that have been previously issued alone.
Okay, from what I was hearing folks say, they're concerned about the cease and desist orders that were issued pursuant to the 45.
I know, but there are others that aren't here that may fall into the other categories. And so if we're
CSD's cease and desist order?
Well, that is one, but I'm thinking about the others that Mr. Packard was mentioning.
I think we can.
So I'm very willing to have something come back that's noticed where we can kind of consider what to do across the board.
Okay.
I don't want to start picking and choosing.
I thought you were
leaving somebody out.
I thought you were saying, and I think Harvey thought you were saying, we were going to be noticing hearings for that day, for December.
Yeah. Right.
Full-blown hearings.
No. Well, a hearing, a board action item to consider what to do. Whether
okay, well, that's different than it.
That's a hearing. That is a hearing.
Okay.
It's an absolute.
Because each one of the 13 gets a separate hearing.
Correct.
Under the law. Okay.
Right. And
so how many hearings are, the question is how many hearings would we be noticing?
We could ask John Richard. John, can the board hold a hearing to consider a group of cease and desist orders?
Certainly.
Okay. Now, what do you want to do, if anything, about the settlement agreements? I mean, those folks, I don't know if they're here or not, but certainly first thing they're going to do is say, wait a minute.
Well, no, and that's what they should do. So we need to deal with that.
And are you suggesting that we don't do that in December but wait for a later date?
Yeah, there's no rush. I think because we don't know what we're going to do in December.
Okay.
So how can we say now what we're going to do with the,
okay,
you know?
I have a suggestion.
Yeah. Yes.
I suggest that if the board wants to hold a hearing to consider cease and desist orders and the settlement agreements, that we issue a notice that says just that and limit it to those that were considered in the first 45.
I agree.
Okay. I think that's fine.
I would just say that if you're going to consider the CDOs, you definitely must consider the settlements. I think it'd be unfair to leave those in place.
Right. That's my concern.
That's what we want to do. That's what I said. I said the cease and desist orders and the settlement.
Right. So that would be December
7th.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Thomas, you'll take care of that noticing? Okay. Let's move on. Who's next? Is it Lori McCombs, or did we already hear from Ms. McCombs? No, we didn't. And Kathleen Jensen. And last but never least is Bruce Payne.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Richards.
I'm going to have to leave for the airport.
Okay. Well, I understand that this is your last board meeting. Is that correct?
I didn't hear that.
I understand this is your last board meeting, at least with us.
Yes. My last day is going to be essentially the 19th of October.
Okay. Well, let me say a few words about that.
Can we have a hearing and we can reconsider that?
John, who is on the phone, John Richards, our attorney on this matter, has served the state water boards for 27 years, including several years assigned to our region, providing legal opinion and guidance to this board from 1985 through 1987. In addition to filling in as needed on several occasions throughout the years. Most recently, he has been advising the board on Los Osos issues, usually when water board attorneys agree to assist another board on a matter due to a conflict or a bias claim. The assignment involves preparing for and attending a single hearing, usually lasting only a few hours. In this case, John has been actively assisting the board on all Los Osos-related matters for almost a year and a half, both behind and in front of the cameras. He has traveled to San Luis Obispo, a 10-hour round trip from Sacramento, if you're lucky, and other board meeting locations on multiple occasions. John agreed to take on this assignment while carrying a very full load as the sole attorney for the San Diego region. Despite the extraordinary amount of time he has spent assisting our region
in this extracurricular capacity with these very challenging cases. John is always professional, thoughtful, and good-natured. John, we greatly appreciate your work for the state and regional boards, and we especially appreciate your earlier assignments to this board and your recent extra role in assisting us. We congratulate you on your career and on your retirement, and we all wish you the very best in your new life. So thank you very much, John.
Well, thank you very much. That was very nice.
Okay. Any other board comments?
Thank you.
To John before he...
Thank you, John.
Okay. Good luck, John.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
And we'll talk to you later.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Ms. McCombs, sorry about that.
Boy, after all that, now my whole scheme of things have changed. Okay, my name is Lori McCombs. I'm CDO holder 1026. And I wish it was closer to Halloween so I could have the fake knife at my throat, because I appreciate the fact that now I don't have to read any of the information, because I have to vote yes on 218. I am pressured to vote yes on 218. You haven't given any evidence of what you're going to do.
We're sorry.
We have a no
vote.
Your
call did not go through. Will you...
Sorry about that.
Time.
I'll stop your time. Okay, go ahead. We haven't given you any indication of what we're going to do.
Yeah, what happens if we have a no vote?
Okay.
Okay, and so I completely, 100% feel pressured that I have to vote on 218, no question, because I am one of the random 45. Whether I signed a phony, what you would call a settlement, it's no better than a CDO. We all know that. And so I was supposedly random picked, and all you've said all day is you want to treat everybody fairly. Well, for a year and a half, I haven't been treated fairly. I've been convicted of being a polluter of the waters of the state of California. As far as I really feel you've gotten your goal across, your goal was not to do anything about these CDOs or CAOs until the 218. Even in court, the same thing happened. We've been begging for the administrative record for months. We didn't get it, but now all of a sudden the judge is going to let us have it after the vote. After the vote, because nobody here wanted to get the record together so we could even play fairly with our court appeal. I'm really sorry I have to choose yes on 218. I really am, because I feel like I'm letting my rights go to waste, as far as I don't want to lose my house over paying lawyer fees to fight the government for doing something so unfair. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. McCombs. Kathleen Jensen, followed by Bruce Payne.
Good afternoon. I'm Kathleen Jensen of Los Osos Prohibition Zone. And I wasn't going to speak. I wasn't even going to come today, but just came with a friend at the last minute. And while sitting and listening to what's been said so far, these things came to mind, and I thought I would like to explain to you the reason why I would cast a no vote on 218. Number one being, it's the highest cost per capita project in the country, and I've sure been looking for our protection and wonder when it's going to come. It's never been dealt with. It's affordability. Number two, there's three more good reasons. These are new ones. It's Mr. Murphy, Mr. Ripley, and the regional plan. They may all work best together, and they should all be considered by this board and the county. Number three, Montgomery Watson, Carrillo, and other entities have issues that have not been resolved. We feel there have been great mistakes made because of this power base and would not want them, with the county's blessing, to be awarded contracts in view of new, wiser, and less expensive options, utmost being our saltwater intrusion problem. Number four, Measure B initiative was passed by the people, and it may still be alive. It stuck the community with large pipe prejudice and expense. How will this influence the county's choice now? The Water Board has never proved that I'm polluting, or they've never managed the septic management district to protect our water. And I suppose you should have done it in 77, but nobody followed through. I've owned my home since 1973. I'm 72 feet above groundwater, and my lot is about 95 by 95. Number five, we cannot be afraid to vote yes or no, and should be given reassurance we will not be individually or collectively targeted by this board for doing so.
Can you wrap it up, Ms. Jensen?
This is my last sentence. If more openness and truth is not considered by the county in the next 45 days, I would expect this board to be open as well. Then I will vote no on the 218.
Thank you very much for your comments. Bruce Payne, last speaker.
Good afternoon. Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. CDO number 1000. I want you to notice there's five digits there, right? So we start out 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's six digits. There are 46 CDOs. Do you have that through now? I got a couple of books here, really good reading. Abuse of Power, that's great. I think everybody in Los Osos should know about abuse of power. We're looking at eminent domain and urban renewal grants coming up for mid-block access. This is a really great book. For those people who don't know what zero access is, this lady worked real hard to get the plastic factories in the Gulf Coast of Texas and the inland waterways to quit dumping pollutants and killing her shrimp. She was a shrimper before she ended up with nothing to shrimp and took on the fight. So that's good reading right there. And so this brings us up to zero discharge. There's a lot of other things I'd like to talk about. Number one, you're a lot of attorneys here, I guess. Title 33, Chapter 26 of the U.S. Law. Look it up. One of the previous speakers kept saying something about 8313 says zero discharge. And I remember Lisa at one of these meetings asking somebody on staff, I don't remember exactly, I believe it was Mr. Thompson, but if she ran clear water into her leach field, would she be illegally discharging? He says, of course, you can't run anything into your leach field. How many of you know what zero discharge is with water? Anybody got a definition of zero discharge? Well, the gentleman talked to you a couple of times. There's a settlement agreement I can sign. It says...
Thank you for your comments.
Formal notification of exemption from assessments and enforcement. I intend to have two or three, several hundred of these by the next meeting with...
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Payne.
Yeah. Public engineer stamp and signature on them.
Thank you. Mr. Packard?
I'd like to address one more point, if I may.
Sure.
And that is the discussions brought up by Mr. Murphy and Mr. Lowe earlier today and the form that Mr. Payne just showed you. We haven't made any determination of the technology that they're putting forward. Mr. Ogren has talked about the process the county has where they can submit private industry proposals for proprietary systems and get evaluated. That's the process that Mr. Murphy and Mr. Lowe need to go through. But I do need to say that their interpretation of U.S. law is wrong, that the reclamator does discharge waste, that users of the reclamator will still violate the basin plan prohibition, that the form that Mr. Payne has just showed you is invalid, has no bearing, no weight, and the citizens of Los Osos need to understand that and be sure of that before they
believe any of the claims of Mr. Lowe or Mr. Murphy. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, we have concluded this item. I just wanted to thank the county again for coming before us. I thank everyone for their comments. And everything now is in the mail.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. So we'll move on now to just general public comment period, which we haven't had before. And I have some cards which have some of the same names that we had before. But anything that says agenda item 23, I'm going to put aside. Let's see here. We've already dealt with that. Okay, let's see. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. I've got 10 cards, folks. Some of these names are the same. 11. Okay. Gail McPherson, did you want to speak about general, anything not on the agenda that we've spoken about so far? This is public comment about things not on the agenda. Okay. All right. You're the first speaker. Then Alan Perlman says public comment general. And then Stephen Page, PC 13269 waiver request. So let's move on now. We'll have 3 minutes for each of these. Okay. So, Ms. McPherson, did you not want to speak? Yes, that's fine. Mr. Perlman, go ahead.
Thank you for hearing me today. My name is Alon Perlman, and I do reside in the Prohibition Zone. I hope not to be interrupted, but I do understand things are a little bit mixed up, so I will, I believe, end up talking somewhat about events that take place in Los Osos. But specifically...
You're going to have to not do that, sir. So please keep it to things not on the agenda.
Well, that's unfortunate. In that case, I will go back in time to a date that I went to Sacramento to speak before the State Water Board, and I believe you can hear me on that. And... at the time, they chose, even though there were only 7 people present, and they were dealing with the disbursement of $150 million into little teeny pork barrels that were distributed up and down the coast. That was a loss of the SRF loan. At the time, a gentleman tried to speak, and his time, he had a presentation, it was 3 minutes long, but the people present chose to limit his time to 2 minutes. That individual did not manage to do very well with his 2 minutes. So when my time came up, I was not very well prepared, but I did identify that the State Water Board has a deficiency in their science and understanding, utilizing science and understanding, and communicating about science and understanding to their own staff, and that is a condition that exists in the State Water Board. And at that very same meeting where I called the State Water Board a failed regulatory agency, a member of the task force for AB 885 stood up about an hour after I spoke and drilled the State Water Board as to their failures in enacting AB 885, specifically identifying that of 5 major elements, they'd only managed to work out 2 of them. And he did identify the actions of the State Water Board and the lack of understanding of science as being a major component of that. I do have a regulatory background, but since it has to do with FDA clinical trials, it may or may not pertain. But the biggest, dirtiest secret of Los Osos, which is now out in the open, is that there are septic tanks on properties that are smaller than 1 acre, located throughout the Los Osos watershed, and I suppose I'm not supposed to say anything about the prohibition zone. These were outside the prohibition zone. There is a contribution into the waterways. And finally, I would like to say that the use of numbers such as astronomical is a false way of describing bacterial concentrations. Every ounce of seawater contains an astronomical number of organisms. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Perlman. Gail McPherson, followed by Stephen Page.
Gail McPherson, Los Osos. I had a couple of announcements that I wanted to make. One is that on the 17th, Monday the 17th, we'll be going over ballots, ballot issues with the county, and they're going to help to give some direction on that vote, but I don't want to belabor that. It'll be on a website, pzldf.org. And the other is on the 18th, actually it's between September 18th and October 18th, there is the World Water Monitoring Day, and Citizens for Clean Water is going to be participating with other water agencies and looking at monitoring. And this is going to be an outreach program for people to gather information on their watersheds. This has been going on for a while. I'm a member of the Water Environment Federation, and World Water Monitoring Day is available online at several sites, and we have a link at our site at pzldf.org. This is allows citizens to learn about their water resources by participating in gathering samples and analyzing samples and logging results, and I think that would be a really great effort for Los Osos, who is concerned about their water resources and water quality, to join in that effort. And so we invite people to do that. We'll have information available the 17th of this month as well, and some water monitoring kits. And so I just wanted to invite people to join in that positive effort. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. McPherson. Stephen Page, then I have David Dugan again, and Mr. Burrow again. Is Mr. Page here? Okay. How about Mr. Dugan? Is he here? Okay. Do you want to speak? Come on up. Okay. Al Burrow, and then is Mr. Ricano still here? He's not. Okay. Mr. Sadowski? Bruce, Mr. Payne, are you here? There you are. Okay. Chuck Cesena, you still here? Okay. And Lawson Schaller? Pull that card? Okay. Lisa Schicker? Don't see Ms. Schicker. Okay. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Dugan.
I'm going to speak about water, and I'm not going to speak about the prohibition zone or the wastewater treatment facility, or any of those actions. Actually, I'm going to speak about water regionally. As you know, we are probably going through a statewide drought, a regional drought. And there's something going on in Morro Bay that I think you should put on your calendars to take a look at. They're going to go full tertiary treatment. And with that good old fully tertiary treated water, they're going to dump out into the ocean several million gallons a day. I believe that the state code, water code, says that when you have a wastewater facility and you have fully treated water, basically, that can be reused, there should be some kind of program to reuse that water. Now, I know they're in trouble right now for dumping a lesser treated water into the ocean, but I think they would just be as much trouble dumping water into the ocean that could be completely treated to be used in a regional water supply. And I think you should look at that. I also want to talk about the Los Osos Basin outside the prohibition zone. And in the basin plan, I believe it's, sorry, I'll get it here. 8D3I, individual, alternate, and community system prohibitions. Now, I'm not talking about a prohibition zone. But if your system does not meet the requirement of a half acre or more, it's prohibited from being built within the basin, not within the prohibition zone. That's a different thing. While new septic tank systems should generally be limited to new divisions of land having a minimum parcel size of 1 acre, where soil and other physical constraints are particularly favorable, parcel size shall not be less than 1/2 acre. How many homes that have been built outside the prohibition zone but within the basin are less than 1/2 acre? Several. In fact, there's one being put in place right now that are trying to get built within the basin. It's a 17,000 feet lot. That's well below the prohibition of the basin. How many homes was the county allowed to build that did not meet this 1/2 acre requirement? Where were you when they did it? That's why we have a water problem in Los Osos. Too many houses, too close together, sucking up too much water, and they're not all in the prohibition zone. So keep that in mind when people come forward and ask, what are you going to do about this? Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Dugan. Al Barrow, followed by Bruce Payne.
Thank you. My name is Al Barrow, and I live in Los Osos. I hope you can hear me now. I lost a tooth last night, and I was sat in the dental chair this morning, and I didn't sleep much, so I feel pretty meek today. I want to talk a little bit about the announcement that NOAA announced yesterday. That's the National Ocean Area, whatever. They announced that the global melting, the melting of the solar caps is going at a much more alarming rate than they had predicted. And so there will be less habitat for wildlife up in the poles and probably more drought and things of that nature. And I think as a water board, you appreciate the fact that farmers have been cut back on their allotments in the last year. And we may be looking at a lot of that. And I think that we have to reconsider how we are going to build our communities or expand our communities. And as a water resource is becoming more scarce, it's going to be more expensive. There was some comment today that, the water purveyors are going to do something about our water supply. And they do have a technology called ion exchange where they can clean up aquifer water that has some pollutions in it at 60 cents a thousand gallons. So there's technology that's moving forward, but we really need to have a sustainable viewpoint on what we're doing in all of our activities from now on. And I think the Water Board could play a lead role in that, in doing that. I went on the web yesterday and saw that several areas of the Los Angeles basin were getting free toilet retrofits to save water. And I was wondering if the Water Board could have any influence in helping communities get that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Bruce Payne.
Hello again. Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. This book I was talking about is really fun reading. She's a great author. She was a shrimper. She had a shrimp boat, and she drug the bottom of those waterways and collected shrimp and sold them by the pound. You know, I mean, it was a decent living with a kind of a beat up old piece of equipment. But when the shrimp started dying and disappearing, she lost her job. She ended up running a fish house for her brother, where she bought shrimp that were luckily caught by other people, a few at a time, and so she had time to start noticing that this was pollution, and people came around and told her, "Oh, that's a plastic company there," and they were dumping polluted water into the waterways, and it was killing the shrimp. And then the sea lions or seals, porpoises it was, porpoises kept washing in on a mud flat dead. And so then they started looking at some of this stuff. And some people from Taiwan got a hold of it and said, yes, that guy that owns that plant's from Taiwan. We run him out of Taiwan. He's messed up the whole ecology there and still wants to keep building more plants. And so they invited her later to go to Taiwan, and she heard what was going on and saw how people would stand in front of somebody that was outspoken so that they would get shot instead of the person that was fighting for them. I don't expect that to happen around here. Anyway, she'd just about given up on the thing. Some of the ecology groups got in behind her, and the guy called her and said, do you know about zero discharge? I work for a company that makes the equipment to produce zero discharge. And he says, nobody listened to me around here, so my company's pulling me out and putting me in a different district. And so she found out what zero discharge was, and she managed to achieve zero discharge on all of those plastic factories and chemical factories on the Gulf Coast, and dumping pollutants into the waterway, inland waterway that's Gulf water. So one person can make a difference, and if it has a little help from two or three more, and understanding from people who ask the questions and want to know. I really enjoyed the cross-examination of Dr. Wickham. It was nice that day. Thank you very much.
Okay. Mr. Payne, what's the name of this book?
Oh, it's an Unreasonable Woman, and her name is Diane Wilson. She wrote it herself.
Okay.
Others?
You can get copies of it.
Well,
right,
just in case folks wanted to know, I mean, you're given this book report and you don't give us the name of the book, so.
All right, thank you, Mr. Payne. Chuck.
Okay.
All right, Chuck Sasena, Lisa Schicker, last speaker is Richard Margetson.
Good afternoon, Board. I'll say this in one sentence. In the interest of a truly level playing field, I wish that you'd consider vacating all enforcement actions in Los Osos, all of them. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Ms. Schicker?
Good afternoon. Lisa Schicker, Los Osos CSD and Los Osos resident. Just food for thought for your board, just for future decisions. I understand your role better now than I did a few years ago about what you do and what you don't do. But I do read your policies, and I do read some of your plans, and kind of a global perspective on your approach. Some of the problems that we've gotten in Los Osos and probably other small cities too are that you're an enforcement board, a regulatory board. But there are many policies that influence your decisions and other agencies, in my feedbacking. Too close or too far away? Not sure. Not loud enough. So I know you partner with other agencies, but in light of that, I just wanted to call your attention to something that has happened yesterday, and in small towns like Los Osos, too, as well. You're enforcing on water quality. We have water quantity issues. We have sustainability issues. We have saltwater intrusion issues, et cetera, that all enter into our community decisions about what to do, and ask you to consider those. Also, Attorney General Jerry Brown yesterday spoke to the League of California Cities and Counties in Sacramento, and I obtained a transcript of his speech because it's very important. What he's doing is he's calling the cities and counties to action for global warming. And many of the decisions that you make, even on a regulatory basis, affect global warming. And I think that you could, you might want to get a copy of this stuff. It's called CAN, California Climate Action Network. And some of the things that you decide on also are affected by global warming, such as energy usage, and recycling, and recovering methane gas from waste to generate electricity. There's many policies that might help you in your decisions in the future, and I just wanted to point that out. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Richard Margetson, then last speaker will be Lindy Owen.
Richard Margetson. I need some clarification. The attorney that was on the phone, am I correct, he's retiring?
Yes.
Okay. On the closed session items listed, there's a number of them that say that Ms. Okun will not participate in this item dealing with Los Osos. Who will be the new, do we know yet?
I don't know.
And will we know before the December item if there will have the familiarity of the issue to?
Well, I would think so.
Okay.
I'm just wondering
where they're going to get that knowledge from.
Well, you know, and mostly the attorney advises us on matters of law.
I know.
So that usually doesn't change too much from week to week.
The other thing that I just want to comment on, I've heard members of this board and I've heard it at other government meetings, that government runs slow, moves slow. Well, today was a perfect example. This issue that you're going to be discussing in December could have been moved up months. If you had done the same, had the same discussion you had today, if you had had that discussion in May, government wouldn't have moved as slow.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Margetson. Lindy Owen, last speaker.
Lindy Owen, I do want to again repeat that I would beg you to consider that our problem in Los Osos is a basin-wide problem, and the solution that will work best is it will make it more affordable, and we can look at sustainability and water reuse all in one big step, is to go basin-wide. And please consider that the California Coastal Commission is behind this. That's one agency. If you get behind it, that's two agencies. And I don't think it would take much to actually look at how we could implement all this stuff that's going on with sustainable climate change and technology that is out there in the future, that it's actually here today. And I would like to put in a formal complaint against Roger Briggs and the current staff. I feel that they have railroaded this direction for a sustainable, affordable, alternative-type technology from the very beginning, and what their motives are, I do not know. But I find that they are of really very little help right now. When I ask about the alternative types of technology that are being used in other counties, other states, other countries, it's not allowable here in Los Osos. Why? What is it about Los Osos? Paso Robles is going for a sustainable green wastewater plant, but we can't have one. Our nitrates are 1 milligram in the basin area over the standard. Morro Bay is 48 milligrams, and I forgot how high over the standard. Their sewer hasn't worked. The nitrates are coming from croplands. Our nitrates are coming from croplands. If we're going to answer nitrate and pollution, we're going to look at something that's going to combine some technologies that are affordable, that can be run with alternative energies, solar, wind, methane. We want to go to the future with that kind of a sewer. And I'm not going to vote yes on this 218 either, because we asked for a Project A, which would be looking at sustainability, and a Project B, and that was what we were told we were going to get. Shirley Bianchi said that she wouldn't expect people to vote on a promise, and at this point, we're not getting it. I guess I'm off subject again. The mandate in your basin plan, which hasn't been updated since 1964, says that you are to continually improve waste treatment systems and processes to assure consistent, high-quality effluent based on best economically achievable technology. 24 years, this has been your mandate for Los Osos and many other communities in this county. It has never, ever been implemented. It's never been talked about. I bring it up over and over again. I've been speaking before you for 5 years. Nobody wants to address the fact that this got ignored. And what kind of water quality would we have today if our septic tanks had been managed? Let's start. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
And no one stopped Los Osos folks from managing their septic tanks. You could have done it on your own.
It was your mandate to do it, and the county was supposed to implement a program which would have made it simpler and educated us. When I bought my house, I wasn't even told what kind of a system I had.
Okay.
That's supposed to have happened.
I'm sorry I brought that up.
Well, you think people are going to do all the right things if they don't know.
I know, but they're partially responsible for doing the right things.
They didn't know. I called the county to ask for information on septic tanks. They didn't have any.
Thank you, Ms. Owen. Okay, this meeting is adjourned.
Staff here who has stayed around to answer any questions that you have on the perchlorate items that we have on item 18A. And I will just add, in terms of the Olin site, I sent a newspaper article and some information to you about our draft cleanup or abatement order, which is now sort of a semi-public draft. We're hopeful of getting that out for a formal public review next week. And then the perchlorate community advisory group has a meeting coming up pretty soon. I think it might be next Friday. Is that right, Hector? Anyway. Oh, okay. I was thinking it was sooner. They would certainly like to be able to take up discussion of that at that time. So we're going to try to get that out this next week. And I think the staff was just here to answer any questions that you have about the sites.
Any questions from the board? Mr. Hodgen, Dr. Hunter, Vice Chair Jeffries?
Not unless they have something new to add from their last report.
No? Okay. Mr. Shawcross?
Yeah, I just want to say I think the staff's doing a really excellent job on this and has from the beginning. I mean, even though the staff has changed, they've just been one of the top-notch groups, I think.
Yeah.
And the folks in the area also, I hear a lot of good things about our staff. So keep up the good work and rough, rough, rough.
Okay. Dr. Bowker? Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Briggs?
That's it until the October meeting. To let the board members know, your chair has invited us to put together a Thursday afternoon tour of the Arroyo Borough Restoration Project. We're looking at maybe 4 o'clock for starting that, and we've got the draft notice prepared for that, but I just wanted to give you a heads up for your planning purposes that we're looking to have that tour at 4 o'clock and then the regular meeting on following Friday. So it'll be Thursday afternoon and then Friday.
That restoration is really interesting because the city daylighted a part of a creek that was underground in a culvert. And to try to improve the water quality of Arroyo Borough Estuary, They daylighted it and cleaned up the whole area and planted native vegetation in an attempt to improve water quality. So I don't think you see many projects like this anywhere. So I think that's why I think it's worth taking a look at and getting a tour. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Payne, always. Okay. You're very endearing, Mr. Payne. And we'll... Okay. So we're adjourned, and we will reconvene then in Santa Barbara in October.